Good morning. I said, good morning. Are you ready for day three? Carlos is. First of all, please, if you would, please look to the back and help me welcome the amazing people all over the world who are going to be watching this very event in their own city, in their own country. We have Latvia, UK, and South Africa. Please turn around. Please wave. Canada! Our neighbor to the north. Okay, just a couple of quick reminder. The seat that you have right now is going to be your seat for the rest of the day. Also, please make certain that your phones are turned off. You know, these devices, I tell people all the time that I'm technically challenged, as you saw with the microphones. I was talking and didn't know it wasn't working. Make certain that you turn your phone off, or at least at the very least, please turn it to silent, like silent as in no noise. And I want to repeat this because I think it's incredible. How many of you know when people do something to honor you, it's important that you give honor where honor is due, correct? Raise your hand. This hotel is incredible. They are honoring us as a group of people, and it's unbelievable what they're doing. So I want to make certain this is very clear. And it's for your convenience, and it's a big deal, and we want to make certain that we take advantage of their generosity. If you have luggage, if you're checking out today, Chad mentioned this, I'm going to mention it again. Please make certain that you go ahead and get your luggage this morning out of your room. If you're checking out today, if you're checking out tomorrow, it doesn't matter. But if you're checking out today, and many of you are, please make certain that you put your luggage over there in Center Street A, I believe it is. You'll see all the luggage over there. They've got a place for you to get it checked. Please make certain that you do that. Let's honor the hotel because they're doing the best to honor us. It's all about making your life easier when you check out. They're expecting a ton of check-ins, and they don't want you sitting there waiting forever. They're trying to minimize your wait. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a wait. They're just trying to minimize your wait, and it's for your convenience. So let's make certain that we honor that. We don't want them to feel like they went through all that effort, and we didn't honor them in that way because they're doing it for us. Make sense? I love feedback. That's awesome. So I got to tell you, how many of you know that you've had a crazy idea, you have something that you wanted to do, and you really had this thing that you thought you were supposed to do, but nobody supported you, like start a business? This is the Entrepreneur Workshop. This is by far my absolutely favorite day, and I'll tell you why. And I'm going to sum it up. Someone told me earlier this week, they said, in fact, it was last night, she said, you know, I've been to a lot of training events, and a lot of training events have been good. Like, they gave me good stuff for my mind. They helped kind of adjust the way that I thought. She said, but there's something different about this event. And she said, I think what it is for me is that I'm learning something practical that I can absolutely apply. Like, I'm given direction that I can take action on. How many of you have noticed that about this event? It's real world stuff, right? One of the reasons there's not 10,000 people in this room right now currently, we'll get there because we as a group are making a movement, but one of the reasons we're not there now is because Dani speaks the truth. Her training is the truth. And people would prefer to hear things like manifest and imagine and you deserve it. Do you know why they teach that stuff? Because 98%ers will pay for it. You need to understand that a lot of training is about what will you pay for? What will you choose to believe? What's the quickest way to get you to part from your money? So, but Dani's training is real. It works. And that's what this is all about. I heard about this training event over 10 years ago now. Holy smokes. And at the time, I was in a place in my life where I had gotten a pretty decent job. I was working full time as a registered nurse, and I'd went through school. I failed out of school twice, actually. I had to apply three times. I actually was kicked out of a college and couldn't go back because I had flunked out twice. They had a two admission policy. But it took me 5 years to get a 2-year degree. True story. And I eventually became a nurse. And I was working as a nurse, and I enjoyed that job. But I quickly realized that although I had an impact in helping people and I did something that was really good, the problem that I had was that I was working long hours, rotating shifts. I didn't have any time for my family. Anyone ever been in that position where you have a job that just takes you away from the family? How about a job that just does not pay you enough to reach your goals? Like, it's never going to pay you enough to reach your goals, right? So for me, I wanted to find a way to be able to succeed. And becoming an entrepreneur, starting a small business was daunting. It was scary. And I went down that path and I struggled, but I just believed that there had to be a way that I could succeed. I looked at so many things. And I eventually got started in a business, But something was different. And one of the things that was different for me was I heard about a trainer shortly after getting started. This lady went with $2.03 to her name to becoming a millionaire. And she was doing this training event, much like this one. And I just thought, if I could go to that event and just learn part of what she's done to succeed, then maybe, finally, I can make it. Nobody believed in me. Nobody encouraged me. And I just thought, maybe I could make it. I went to that training event. I came out of that event, and within 30 days, that new business had generated $15,000 in revenue, which blew me away. At the time as a nurse, it took me 6 months to earn that. So it blew me away. I went on that year to do over $100,000. Eventually, I went that year, did $70,000. My next year, did $100,000 and beyond. I've made seven figures and beyond in that business. I'm able to work my own schedule, set my own life. No one else tells me what to do, where to go. Those people who did not believe in me, many of them are still punching the same time clock that I left. I am totally independent because of this business and because of the business and the training that I have. The biggest difference in you and I, no matter where you're at, I know many of you are new in business. The biggest difference is I got started just a little bit before you. That's it. Danny said something from stage that was really good, and it hit me so hard. I thought, that is why she is so real. She said, day one, she said, this is a team effort. Who else in your life is saying, this is a team effort? If you understand your model and you understand her training, then you realize that she really succeeds after she helps you succeed. Because you see, after she, it's not about you getting into this event. It's not about your success. Your life is attached to 2,000 people. It's about their success and their success. But before she can get to their success, she has to get to your success. She grows her business through you. The question is, are you going to give her what she's given to you? Are you going to give back to her what she's given to you? Anytime you're becoming an entrepreneur, there's people who don't believe in you. And I'm going to tell you about someone right now who has an incredible story. This gentleman is one of my favorite entrepreneurs in the world. And he's got a great story when he was going down the path that life had, that everybody said was good. He was going to medical school. How many of you know medical school is a big deal, right? He was on his way to medical school. He's going to be a physician. That's what he was told, you know, he was supposed to do in life to be successful. That's what he believed. Well, needless to say, he abandoned that path. And he struck out and became an entrepreneur. He's became extremely successful. You can measure an entrepreneur by two things: how successful their business is and how much their employees love him. And this gentleman's employees, I have had conversations where his employees have cried to me, told me how much they loved working for him. This is a man who pours into people, and as a result, he has a very, very successful business. He was on Secret Millionaire. And I don't know if you know this, to be on that show, you had to be vetted. You had to be a multimillionaire. They checked up on you, made certain you were succeeding. He told me a funny story. He said, after I was on the show, someone in my family came to me and said, Jeff, are you now ready to go out and get a real job? I say that to say this to you. You need to understand that it's not about who believes in you. It's about what you believe in, where you're going. And when you have a gentleman in front of you that has that kind of track record, many of you think you want to succeed, you want to prove something to somebody. You first have to prove it to yourself. When you look at the character of a man, you look at his family, you look at his business, you look at his employees, and you realize that you have the ability to learn from someone that has this track record, you have to pay attention. It is very rare. Danny's rare. How many of you know Danny's rare? So when you find another entrepreneur who's cut from the same cloth, and he has a different perspective and a different business. This gentleman is not a speaker as his professional career. But when he steps on this stage to share something with you, you want to pay very close attention to what he has to say. You want to glean from him, lean forward. For some of you, this moment right here, if you allow it, it will transform your life. Did you hear me? It will transform your life. My question to you is, are you ready to get your life transformed? Are you ready to make a difference? Are you ready to embrace your future? Get on your feet. Help me welcome to the stage, Mr. Jeff Usner.
All right, can you hear me? Am I on? I'm on. They said I'm supposed to talk. All right. I'm a crier, so sometimes I cry. I'm going to try not to now. But I did want to bring Jackie up here and just tell you how proud I am of you and just watching your growth over the years and all that you've become as a man, as a father, as a husband, and as a business person, a leader, and an entrepreneur. And I'm just very, very proud of you. You're amazing. I love watching you, and you inspire me.
Yes.
So thank you. All right, 6 seconds in and I cried. That's a record. I didn't see Carlos up here, though, man. You had some action in this house. Oh, wow. Well, welcome to day 3. Congratulations. What an amazing, amazing event. You can say that again. Yes. I got spanked a bit this weekend. Anybody else get spanked? That's a good thing, right? Keeps us on track. That's why it's good to stay plugged in to all of Danny's training materials, to stay in it on a daily basis, because it's easy to get off track, right? It's easy to be taken out in the world, as Jackie was sharing. There's people that are going to be against you and not for you. Anybody have anybody against you at all? All right. The rest of you, man, I don't know. Be careful when you walk out of here. It's going to happen. It's just been such an amazing event. I'm so honored and humbled that Danny would allow me just to share with you this morning. And I've got a short time frame, so hopefully I can get done by Tuesday morning. And it'll be good. I'm also... We'll still be here. They might kick us out if we did that. I don't know. It's just an honor. It's such a blessing to be here, just to be a part of this community and to... hopefully pour back some really good nuggets, some wisdom that I've learned in my life as well. I wanted to honor my families here too, in the front row, my wife and all my kids. You can stand up. I know my wife loves that. They're going to be the ones that in 6 years, they're going to be like Mateo, who you saw on stage, you know. This is the stage where they go from, all right, I see them, they're kids. And then you're like, oh my gosh, that guy's a monster. I look at Micah, Danny's son, and every time I see him, like, you look older and, like, more buff than I've ever been. So it's an amazing thing to be a part of. Just to start, I'm going to go through some slides in a little bit. But I want to let you know we're going to get those slides to you. So don't feel like you have to write down everything you see today because you're going to have it, okay? So just relax. Relax and absorb. And I want to try to share a lot in a little bit of time and attempt to give you the best nuggets that I know that have helped us grow several successful companies, to lead great teams, to grow great organizations, and to give a lot back. And that's what our goal is, my goal is today for you. So I hope you're ready to receive that. Just to start, what I'm going to share with you this morning is a pretty... simple system that I learned about 10 years ago. It was a year in my life, actually probably, sorry, about 8 years ago maybe. I don't know, time flies. It was a time in my life, I shared Saturday morning a little bit about my story, that I had been struggling in my businesses. I'd made money, lost money. I think I made money and lost money more than Danny did. She seemed to learn quicker than me. But it had been a time in my life where, I mean, I was struggling. And I remember I shared part of the story coming in the door from a long day at work and just not knowing how I was going to put food on the table. And it wasn't soon after, I'm at my computer. I remember exactly where I was. I remember the moment. And, man, I'm just praying because I'm like, Lord, what am I doing wrong? How can this thing change for me? You know my heart. You know what I want to do. And I want to make a difference, and I want to be successful. So I'm sitting there, and I'm praying at my desk. I just turned, and I'm praying. And then I heard a voice, which I'm not the kind of guy that says I hear a voice much in my life. Sometimes it's the wrong voice. But I heard, do you want me to show you how to do this? And course, I said yes. I'm not sure how many times he's tried to ask me that in my past there. I didn't hear it, unfortunately. But I said yes. And very quickly, my life began to change. This was, I was, you know, learning from Danny. I was learning, you know, war on debt, you know, personalities, gems. I was learning all the skill sets, increasing my value to the marketplace as much as I could in those areas. But I also, at this point, God said, okay, I'm going to download some skills into you to really assist other people. It's the same thing I've been doing for 7, 8, 9 years now. I still do what I'm about to teach you. I wrote a book years ago, and I read through it recently, and it's pretty much the same thing what I still do. Because here's the thing with the internet. There's a lot of people out there that'll try to teach you the latest trick, the latest secret, this little gimmick or something. But the challenge is you can't build a business on that. It's like Danny's training, right? You have strong foundational things. So she's not like those gimmicks. She's strong foundational training that will help you grow a business. So in the internet, that's where I follow Danny's lead as well, is I look at, okay, if I'm going to build a business, I don't want it on one trick or one way of traffic or one way of doing business, because guess what could happen? You could wake up one day like I did years ago. It's happened several times. And my Google account, I built a huge business with Google, and boom, my account was suspended. If anybody's ever done Facebook ads in here, you wake up one morning or you're logged in and all of a sudden your Facebook account doesn't work. So when you rely on a little secret or one traffic source or one thing in your business, it's very, very dangerous. So what Danny went through even Saturday afternoon, she talked, the first step I believe was exposure, then initial contact, presentation. You're going to see some of that in my presentation. It's going to be applying more to online. Those 7 steps that she had, I've got 5 steps I'm going to take you through. It's a little different. I've used these tactics for online businesses and scaled things very quickly. I've also used them. We own a wedding venue. And I can tell you, when I bought the venue and started to market it, I literally opened up my book and started to review, what do I need to do to grow this business? It's an offline business, right? It's the same principles, same tactics, and very quickly, began to grow that into a successful company and business. So I want you to know what you're going to learn today is going to apply online and offline. All right, let's get into it. Ow. Was that my wife? No. All right, if we could put it on the screen, we'll start to dive into some content. All right, so reverse online profits. Again, you're going to get all these slides. So take notes where you want to take notes, but I do want you to listen and really absorb what I'm going to share. I'm going to have to look over here because I don't have a monitor down here. So how this was born, I already shared that with you, where that came from, that moment in my life, and how quickly my life turned around when I started implementing this. Within like a week to 2 weeks, I was generating like $20,000 a week, $7,000 a day. That's wow. I'll show you some things why it wasn't so wow. At one point, I still learned some things, but that's how quickly my life started to change, is when I really got my head out of my colon, as Danny says, and put my pride to the side, because that's what this system requires, is exactly that. All right, so I'll show you what the system is real quick. It's just a 5-step system. This is literally the day I shared with you, this is what was downloaded to me. So the first step is to, and I actually have it on my phone so I could see this a little easier, to find a money market. Okay, some of you, we have all types of businesses represented here today. This could be a money market or a money business, or just finding a business that's successful. So for me with a wedding venue, here's what I did. I went out and I started to, and I'll get more in depth in this, but we're going to do an overview of it now. I went out and started to find other successful wedding venues, right? If I was a plumber, I'd say, who's a successful plumber in my area? If I had a contracting business, I would look at who's a successful contracting business. If I wanted to be a speaker or trainer, who's a successful speaker trainer? Danny, right? This follows Danny's strategies of modeling, right? You model success. I use this strategy with my marriage, right? With my kids. A lot from Danny Johnson, right? Learning from her on how to be a better husband, how to have a more successful family. So the first step is to find a money market. The second step is to just replicate or create an offer similar to that. Many of you in here already have businesses. This is an entrepreneur workshop. So you don't have to necessarily create a new business. You may, however, create some marketing that's a little different after today, what we go through. The third step is you replicate traffic. Let me explain what traffic is. Traffic is anybody that hears about your business. Okay? On the online market, we talk about online traffic. If you do word of mouth, you use your list of resources, that's offline traffic, right? It's people coming to see your business, whether you're exposing your business in that initial contact. If you remember, Danny went through that as a phone call, a voicemail script, a website, a flyer. Whatever it is that you do to drive people to learn about what you're about. Does that make sense? Okay. The fourth step is to build a list. Danny calls this as well your list of resources. I believe 100% in that. It would do that as well, but I'd also like to build a business outside of just my list of resources, right? When you've been in business, I've been in business, 25 years? I don't know. It's been a while. It's good to create other avenues to generate new contacts, right? New contacts coming into your business. And then the fifth step is pretty simple. Just ramp and bank are kind of the word out there in the marketplace now is like scaling, growth hacking. Basically, you grow your business quickly. Does that make sense? Everybody with me?
Yes.
Five steps. Not too techie. That's a little disclaimer, too, ahead of time. I am not too technical, right? I actually am pretty poor at it. Most people don't believe that until they hang around me a little bit. Even this morning, I had some issues with my computer, and I had to actually give it to somebody else to get it up on the screen. And my Wi-Fi this morning, my... It'd be shocking if you hung around me. Let's just put it that way. You don't have to be techie to do what I'm doing. I could show you how to get people around you who do have some technical experience. All right, so this process, ROP, I call it Reverse Online Profits. It's generated over $50 million in sales for our companies. We do, on average, 30 to 50,000 new registrations a day on our websites, which results in about 12 million leads a month being created. So I do a little bit of traffic. I know something about traffic, right? I know something about getting people to websites, scaling businesses. And we've been doing this for a pretty long time. Oops. That's a sign. I started a new company just 3 or 4 years ago, and we became the number 4 fastest growing company in all of central Pennsylvania. We got an award this last year. Our growth went from $750,000 to $5 million to $10 million in just $10 million plus in just a 3-year period of time. So just another example. This was a different type of business that I scaled quickly using what I'm about to show you. But before we go too deep, I wanted to go over 6 time-tested principles. Because here's the key today, and I think it's my first point, is you need to learn to think like a marketer. Many of us, we run our own businesses. If you're in this room, you either have one. Most of you probably. How many has their own business? How many people have their own business in here? Okay, most people. All right, I'm in front of the right crowd. That's good. This wasn't a basket weaving seminar. I'd be in trouble. It'd be think like a basket weaver. And I couldn't teach that. But I can teach you how to think like a marketer. And this is a mindset shift that you need to make in your mind when you're out there. Because as Danny's talked about all weekend, right, there's people programming you, marketing to you all the time. Do you have one of these devices right here? It's like marketing on steroids now. But when we can say, oh, it's a distraction, I believe it is actually. But the other part of it is how can I be learning about what people are messaging to me? Okay, so when I drive by a billboard, if I see a Facebook ad, if I get an email, if I have somebody, a phone call I get and I happen to take that call, it results in a sale. If I walk into a department store, I'm paying attention to how they're marketing to me, okay? There's a reason, especially when you go into department stores, especially when you hear an ad, these are people who are spending money to get your attention. Most of them have spent billions of dollars, these big corporations, right? So do you think they know something about marketing?
Yes.
So you want to pay attention to things like an email that I received, I opened it. Why did I open that email? I clicked on it. Why did I click on it? And then why did I buy whatever it was? Right? So you need to start thinking like a marketer. I'm not giving you a license to go spend money right now, by the way. You can add to cart and then exit, which actually isn't a bad strategy because you can actually see the strategies they use when you do that action. Okay? Little nuggets, not in my notes at all. It's actually a great way to save money on stuff, too. Never buy on your first entry into a cart. Usually when you exit, you'll be offered some type of discount. Okay, that'll pay for your event, by the way. Seriously. It works so good. Another one I'll throw out there. Whenever you're about to buy something, just use the internet. Go to Google. You guys ever heard of Google? All right. You are internet marketers. Whatever you're going to do, go there and just add the word coupon or promo code. You'll always find a code. Retail Me Not app. I have that on my phone. Wherever I'm at, I look there for coupons and discounts. That doesn't give you a license to spend more, right? You only save money if you actually save the money and keep it, right? Doesn't mean you save it and spend it because now you're not really saving it. Anyway, those are some side note tidbits, but will definitely help you. So I want you to start to think like a marketer if you haven't already. As you see the rest of today and you're learning, this is an entrepreneur workshop, right? Yeah. You need to know how to market your business. You can have, Danny referenced our friends who own a restaurant, and they have an amazing product. Some of the best food I've tasted. Amazing environment. But I don't know if you remember, I think it was on Saturday, she asked her two questions, which was, anybody remember any of them? I'll help you. One was, I believe, how are you getting people into the door? And two was, how are you making raving viral fans, right, when they leave? Okay, those are two big things they're not doing right now. So you can have the best product in the world. I know a lot of people who've created amazing software, amazing products, and they really do help people, right? They do really do, you know, help you double, triple your businesses if it's a business product. They'll help your health, right, so you can be stronger, healthier. They'll help your marriage, help all types of things in your life, but they don't know how to market it. So you wind up with a warehouse full of stuff that never moves anywhere, and you go bankrupt. I'm not going to ask who's done that in here because I might have to be a part of that. I've never done that one, actually. So you've got to think like a marketer. Can you guys promise to do that for me, please? It's basic, but you have to pay attention to what's around you. I learned so much. Like, I will look at an ad. It might be something that has nothing to do with my industry, right? But I was like, man, why did I respond? What caught my attention? What caught my kids' attention if they saw an ad? If I'm marketing to a Democrat, then think that's just me, right? Because I'm a, 43-year-old male that lives in Pennsylvania. What caught my attention? If I see my wife responding to something, I'm like, what's a 31-year-old female responding to on Facebook? Pretty close, right, hon? That was a dangerous one, Jackie. See, but prior to First Steps to Success, I would have, like, plunged into that pit. So you want to get in the heads of your audience. Danny talked a lot about it on Saturday, actually. She mentioned the word avatar, like, in your ideal client list. When she started doing radio, right, her coach said, write out, because you're talking to that one person. The problem with most marketers is they try to talk to everybody. Okay, you always write your marketing to one person. Danny shared that. That was a huge nugget on Saturday. If you didn't get it, speak to one person. Know who your audience is and speak to them. Before I got on stage here today, you know, I was asking Jen Ratchford just some questions about who y'all are. So I could know more of what I could cater my information to you to so it's more beneficial to you. All right, so think like a marketer. I got to keep moving. Second point, newbies get crushed. It's encouraging. It's an encouraging word. I didn't get many, like, excited people on that one. Newbies get crushed. I mentioned earlier, you know, when I first learned this system, I went out there and created a lot of revenue very quickly. But what I want to share with you is within about 48 hours, since I was a newbie, there were, like, four or five other competitors who immediately took that marketplace away from me because I didn't know what I was doing. I learned, like, a piece of it, right, but I didn't have the whole thing. So I want to encourage you in this, in that when you go out there, this has a point. If you model people who have been successful, right, this doesn't have to apply to you. Right. Let me tell you a story about myself. I used to try to go out with my ideas. I used to try to be original. I know this might sound like crazy to some of you, but it didn't work. I tried to reinvent the wheel. I tried to come up with ideas and marketing, and if you know, it will get... I don't think I'll get into sales copy much today, but headlines, things like that. And it just didn't work because they were my ideas. Like Danny said, measure your stack. I'm competing against companies who have $100 million a year advertising budgets or whatever it might be. And then there's me, right, getting going. What makes me think I know more than them? I don't. Okay? That's good news, though. That means I can actually go learn from them and save myself a crazy, crazy amount of learning time. So before I launch any new website, product, anything that we do, we launch, we do a lot of things. We launch new properties all the time. I research the heck out of who's out there, what they're doing, and what's working. Okay, again, in your industry, you can apply that to whatever your business is. In like the wedding venue business I mentioned, I researched the heck. I got all the price lists of people. I looked at how they were marketing on Facebook, Instagram. What was their, most of them weren't really good marketers, actually. But what were the ones that were successful? What were they messaging to the brides? Who were they talking to? I very quickly learned that, you know, the age demographic, marketing to women, brides is where it's at, because happy wife, happy life. When they're engaged, the boys don't know that yet. It takes a few years of marriage. But you eventually get to the point where you understand happy wife, happy life. See, I understand that point, so I had to go after that bride, early bride. Focus like Schwab. You guys ever heard of Charles Schwab?
Yes.
There's a story when he was running Bethlehem Steel, which was a huge, huge company in the early 1900s. He brought a man in named Ivy Lee, and he had this gentleman as a consultant sit down with his top executives, and he wanted to grow the company. So he's sitting there with all these top executives, and it literally lasted about 10 minutes. He said, that's enough. This is the Ivy Lee who was brought in by Schwab, who's a pretty smart guy. He, their company, I think he's worth, I looked this morning, it was like $8.5 billion or something. Or his, whatever. It's a lot of money. So this gentleman, Ivy Lee, says, okay, 10 minutes, that's enough. I have something that'll work. He's like, well, don't you want to meet the rest of my executive team? He's like, I don't need to. So he gives him the idea. And he says, look, what do I pay you? He said, send me whatever you think it's worth when you start implementing the idea. Okay, you better be pretty confident in an idea as a consultant if you're not taking any money up front. You say, send me what it's worth, right? So he walks out the door. A few months later, Ivy Lee gets a check for $25,000, which in the early 1900s is a lot of money. It's a lot of money now too, right? I don't know what it would be worth today, but it'd be a lot. So if it was worth that much to a gentleman who's worth billions, do you think it would be worth something to you?
Yes.
I hope you're saying yes, because it's a very simple concept, and it's this, and I do this with our team every day. I do it myself, and it's simply this. You, before you go to bed at night, you make a top six list of what you need to get done the next day. It's pretty simple. A top six list. Actually, in our team, I do top three. I stay very focused on what our goals are and what's your responsibilities for those goals. So a top six list. So when you wake up the next morning, or whenever your office time is, whenever your business time is, if it's part-time, you don't sit down and waste all this time trying to figure out what am I supposed to do to create results, right? How many of us are good at that? I'm starting work at, I'm going to work this business from 5 to 9. But from 5 to 6, 30, 7, 8, I'm going to check email. And then I'm going to reply to email, and I got to check Facebook, make sure everything's going on there. My text, you know, I've got my cell phone beside me. I want to see what's going on. Is anybody like this ever? I know I am. There's a few honest people. All right. Those are distractions, right? They keep you from creating results. So with the top six list, how this works, and this is how Mr. Ivy Lee explained it to Charles Schwab, and I thought it was good advice since it's helped a man worth billions, is you start at number one, and you don't go on to number two till number one's done. Does that make sense? Number one is going to be the thing that's going to yield the most production for you that day. There's many days I don't even get to cross off number one. Does that make sense? Many of you sitting here have a number one. What is number one? It's the thing that creates the most results in your business. That could be different for or whatever your job is. If you're in a job, what's the number one thing I can do to add value to this business? If you have your own business, which most of you do, what do I do to add more value to my business? So you want to focus on that. Don't go on to number two. And I could spend a lot of time on that, but that's the basic principle. It's a habit that if you create, I believe, can just transform your life, your companies, your people, everything you do. It's a habit I've been doing for years, and it's helped us to work with like SEAL-like teams. Literally, I have competitors with 10 times the amount of employees, and we can kick their tail, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, next point is dry spots hurt. You ever been down a water slide? It's wet at the top. And you're like, this is the funnest thing, yes! And then you're like, oh! You got a wedgie way up your crack. Half the skin's ripped off your legs. Anybody enjoy that? Just going to let that image sit for a little. Because that's how a lot of your marketing can be. It's more painful, though, because it's just like setting a stack of cash on that table and just lighting it on fire. Which hurts worse? Right? They both hurt. And what I mean by that is there's a certain flow to a water slide, right? If it gets off balance, it hurts. Same thing in your marketing. You want to make sure your messaging is congruent. Congruent is a key word I give you throughout your whole marketing system. So I want to make sure my marketing message from an initial advertisement, maybe that's me calling up somebody, maybe it's an initial presentation, whatever the initial contact is, right, as Danny was saying, even actually above that, the exposure part, that message should be the same throughout. Does that make sense? So if I'm seeing an ad about learning how to speak Spanish, I click on an ad, learn how to speak Spanish in 10 days. And then I click on the ad and I go to a website that says, learn German in 3 days. I'm lost, right? Now, it may not be that drastic, but honestly, if you look at some of your marketing, it can be that horrible. I know because I've spent a lot of time on websites and people. And that horribleness may happen very quickly, like I just told you, or you might hit a dry spot at a worse spot, right, when you're actually making the close, as Danny said. The dry spot in what Danny was saying is you get to the end of your presentation and you don't close. That's a bad dry spot, right? You don't make much money, except like she said, for some pearls that feel bad for you. We want to make money from all the gems, right?
Yes.
So dry spots hurt. So look at your marketing. Look at your everything that you do. If you send out emails to clients, if you text message clients, if you call clients, your messaging has to be the same, because as soon as there's something that's off, you've felt it before probably in marketing where you've bailed out of things. You're like, something doesn't feel right. You ever get that feeling when you're kind of going through something? It just, you hit a dry spot. That's what didn't feel right. You got underwear up your crack and you're bailing. It's hard to pull a credit card out of your back pocket with, no, I'm not going to go into that. So dry spots hurt. All right, next concept. I have got to keep moving. Beachfront property. How many have heard beachfront property is pretty valuable? Generally, in up and down economies, it usually retains a lot more value than non-beachfront property, right? Anybody heard that concept before? It's usually more valuable, costs a lot more to buy the investment. So I see the internet the same way. If I find a website, or if it's a search engine, I run an ad on Google, or if I'm on Facebook and we run an ad on Facebook, or we find a certain marketplace that's working, to me, that's like virtual beachfront real estate. It's worth that much. So just to give an example of this, when I find something that works, I try to dominate it. I want to buy up the whole strip. It's like walking out to, let's pick La Jolla, California, and there's no houses on the beach, and you can buy it at pennies on the dollar right now. You probably would buy up as much as you could, right? Because you know you could turn that and make money. So that's similar to the internet. So if I'm on Google, if I'm on Facebook, if I'm making calls to prospects, when I find something that works, I just like double down, triple down, quadruple down. I dig deep into it because if I own that website or if I find an advertising source that works, let's say Google. Let's say I run an ad for my business and it works well. Well, guess what I could do? I could also, Google's got a lot of listings on the front page if you're on a desktop. I could run another ad. I could have a different website that competes against myself. Has anybody ever been to Red Lobster, Olive Garden? Anybody? They're both owned by the same company. You usually see them right beside each other, right? Why is that? It's called beachfront property. They've created real estate that's very valuable for business. They're driving the traffic there, so they're like, hey, we're going to create this. I think they actually own probably 6 or 8 different restaurant chains. And they're all, you think you're getting this variety with different companies. It's the same company. selling you the same exact thing. So in your business, you want to look for those opportunities where you can do that. And I wish I could dive deeper into that. Another point before we get into the ROP is advertising is not expensive. I know when I first started in business and I would help people with advertising, I'd hear it a lot. Man, advertising is expensive. And I go, really? It's expensive if it doesn't work. But if you learn a way to put a dollar in one side of a machine and $2 comes out the other side, is that expensive? In fact, you're going to take those two, you're going to keep shoving it in the front, 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 right? If it's $1.30, it's still a 30% increase on your business. Let's say you have $1,000. Let's say, hey, let's go invest $2,000 in advertising today. No, I can't. It's too expensive. Well, you want to follow the rules I'm teaching you, but the bottom line is you invest $2,000 and it seems like a lot of money, but you make $4,000 back. Was that a good investment?
Yes.
Okay. It's a good investment. I would put a lot of money into that advertising, right? So advertising is not expensive. In fact, I spend a lot of money on advertising. I would say invest a lot of money in advertising every single day. Hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes we spend in advertising. So we spend a lot on advertising. Now, did I do that when it didn't make money? No, I had to figure out. There were skill sets I needed to do to improve on how do I handle that advertising, right? What do I need to do? So I don't want to hit dry spots with my advertising because quickly that's what will happen. Somebody will run an ad or they'll buy advertising and it won't work. And the reason it didn't is because there was a major dry spot, a major wedgie point where it didn't work. So you need to identify the wedgie points. That should have been a slide. You want to identify those points. Advertising does work, ladies and gentlemen. I wouldn't be standing here if it didn't. You know it works. You're here, right? You came to this event from some form of advertising. It could have been word-of-mouth advertising, which is a great form of advertising. It might have been an ad. Dani went through the things. If you saw her on different shows, she has a marketing plan in mind when she is getting you here, right? Is there anything wrong with that? No. In fact, it's very strategic. It's very wise, and you should do the same in your business. You need to have a marketing plan in place to grow your business. Because if you don't have new people looking at your business, what's your business? It's nothing. You're either growing or you're shrinking, right? That's what's going to happen in your business. And the best way to keep it growing is to fuel it with new people, new eyeballs, right? So get a plan of action. Advertising is not expensive. Time is running. Some other time-tested principles. Is always, and again, you'll get these slides. So don't worry about as I go through some of these next ones, there's going to be a little bit more content on them, but again, you're going to get these. So don't worry about writing it all down. But always test, okay? So in advertising, we run what's called a split test. So it might be two different advertisements. If you're calling up prospects, you guys have, if you don't have a script book, you should. Dani's script book has been split tested to the hilt, right? It's a winning formula. It's a winning script. You should not go be a newbie and try to create something on your own, because what will happen to you? You'll get crushed, right? Because somebody sitting in this room is going to use that script, and they're going to crush you, okay? It's the truth. You're going to call up and sound like a fool, right? Who wants to be a fool? Nobody, right? You want to use proven things. So we always test different ads, test different, if we have a funnel or a sales process, how can we sell more to this person? Up front, we'll test these different products. How can we get them to buy more up front? How can we get them to buy more frequently? Those are three areas actually to grow your business and always be focused on. The second thing was always have a goal in mind for each step. So this goes back to that wedgie point of, don't refer to wedgies when Danny's up here, by the way. So my kids are probably laughing. At least I captivated their attention during this presentation. My sapphire is like, yes, Daddy said wedgie. So have a goal in mind in each step of your process. So if you're running an advertisement, if you have a website, if you have a presentation, it's just like Danny said, what's the goal of the presentation? Anybody know? What's the next step in your presentation? Close, right? That's the logical next step. This applies to meetings. If I'm in a meeting with my staff, I want to know, what's our next step? What am I walking out of here? What's your responsibility? What's the next thing we're going to do? Like, that should always be. If you just kind of let things end like this, you walk around life like this, right? You don't do it in the rest of your life. So, same thing there. All right. Whoops. I said that. First, online profits. The online part, I wanted to stress, I've used this for offline as well. So all those overview points are very important, what I just covered. Like, if you just walk away with, I mean, you've already had a ton this weekend, obviously. You've had over the value of what you're doing. But I'm going to dive a little deeper into some concepts, but I wanted to start with some simple concepts that are not really that simple. Like, what I just went through, most companies, if I go in and I'll consult or if I talk to somebody about their business, they don't do those things. I can just go through that list and find things to double a business very quickly. Because there's always sticking points in their marketing, lots of wedgies. Every point I just took you through, they're missing some part in that marketing, which means that you are too, and it means that I am too, so I always need to be looking at what I'm doing. So let's get into the system a little bit more. I already talked about don't be original, newbies get crushed. It's a point I want to make. And never stop doing this. I shared earlier, I mean, this is where I still spend most of my time or have people trained to do what I'm teaching you today. It doesn't matter how successful you get, you always have to be looking at how can you grow your business. Mark Cuban, anybody ever watch Shark Tank? He had a line one show I watched where he said, I'm up all night trying to figure out how to kick my own butt, because if I don't kick my own butt, somebody else is going to kick my butt, right? So you've got to think that way. You can't just get success and then sit back, here I am. Meanwhile, somebody just ran over you. That's the marketplace we live in, right? Which is awesome because, like I said, we can run over other people, but we can claim markets ourselves. So in your business, just some ways to start figuring this out is, who are the top three successful businesses or people in your business? So whatever your business might be, and I've been run stuff where or help people where they're in a small town and there weren't a lot of competitors in the industry. So I said, hey, let's check out New York City. Let's check out San Antonio. Who are the top people there in what you do? So there's always a way to find people who are really good at what you're doing. So look at them. Like, what are they doing? Why are they different? What's their way of doing business? And I'm going to get into some online specific ways to do that right now. I have a system I call the green light system. That slide got a little messed up. So when you're looking at things on the internet, I'm an internet guy, so I'm going to talk some more internet. Is it okay if I get a little internet-y in here?
Yes.
A little nerdy. So the green light system, again, is pretty simple, though. I'm a pretty simple guy. There's four things you look for when you're looking at competitors online that I do. If it's somebody that I'm looking to grow a similar model, similar business, those types of things. Because a lot of people could say, hey, I have all this success, but really it's like measure their stack is what this is about. So there's four green lights, and green means go. Okay? When you find green lights, it's a good thing. You can move forward. If you get some red lights here, they're probably not as successful as you think. Not always the case, but this is a much better way to look at it. So first off, high traffic. I'll show you an example of all this. Consistent traffic. Again, traffic could be anybody looking at your business. So if you're mainly offline, if you're online, whatever, I'm going to say traffic a lot today. It just means eyeballs looking at what you do. Okay? So if you see a business that has a lot of people at it, and it seems like they've been doing it a long time, if I walked into a brick-and-mortar business, it means they're probably successful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, your doors don't stay open with full of people consistently unless you're doing something right. Online, you can look at if they're buying multiple media places. Are they buying on search engines? Are they on Facebook? There's lots of places to see media. Are they retargeting you? Have you ever seen Danny's ads follow you around at all? Anybody? You'll see my ads following you around if you go into my sites. I can tell you that. It won't be my face. But so look at the marketing that's around you, right? If they're spending the money to stay in front of you consistently, it means it's working. And is it something easy to duplicate? In other words, if this is a website, maybe it's just a landing page. I want to give you a term. A landing page is just basically the place where people land when they click on an ad or you send them there. You could say, hey, go check out DannyJohnson.com. Okay? That's the main place where cold traffic would come. Now, when I say cold traffic, it's somebody who's never seen what you have. Okay, so that's what a landing page is called. DannyJohnson.com, if you went there and you tried to leave, guess what you would get? Some type of pop-up to try to retain that client and build a list. Has anybody ever seen that before? If you've been on our site enough, you probably won't see it anymore. But when you first went. A good way, too, when I do what I'm taking you through, to go through this, there's a function that you can do. It's Command-Shift-N. That's about as techy as I'm going to get today. When you're in, like, Google Chrome or use Firefox or Safari, and it'll open up a window so you're not cookied to death, which basically means that the ads that you see are going to be the ads that are more representative of where you're going. There's retargeting ads. Those are the ones that seem to follow you around, right? Whether you're on Fox News, CNN, wherever you might be, that's what's going on. All right, thank you. He said I'm good looking. I was like, really good? Thank you. Thank you, Chad. That was awesome. And he also told me he just has a huge wedgie. But anyway, that was a little awkward, but I thought I'd share it with the room. All right.
You're awesome, Chad.
Sorry, Chad. All right, back on target. That was for you, John. Okay, this cycle can be used in any market. I already went over this. This applies to anything, online, offline. I've worked with companies. I've sat with people who own companies that do $50 to $100 million and more in revenue, and I'll sit there and I'll look through what they're doing, and I'll teach them this, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'm like, really? And that's nothing on my back, like pat on my back. It's just like they don't think that way. They've grown successful companies. They've kind of figured it out as they went, and I'll go in and I'll be like, I'll be in groups of people who, all of them multi-millionaires, and it's so simple. Like, oh, I got this problem and this. I was like, well, why don't you just look at what your competitor's doing to overcome that problem? Oh my gosh, Jeff, that's amazing. So if you want to sound smart, just say that. Does that work? Why don't you just look at what they're doing? Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I can't believe you just did that. I know, I'm a brilliant, apparently. So step one, we want to find a money website or a money business, basically. I already went over this. Ways to do this, too. Like, let's say you have an online business. You can go to Google and type in search terms that have to do with your business. In the example of my wedding venue, I would go type in local wedding venue or Cleveland wedding venue, and I could see who's advertising. Does that make sense? And I could see who's already trying to capture my marketplace. I could go to Yahoo, Bing. I could go to Facebook. I could start liking things that have to do with bridal stuff, right? I could even possibly create a Facebook account that is more of the demographic of who I want to target, because I'm not like a 21-year-old female looking to get married, right? So I won't necessarily see the ads that my demographic would, but I could go create a Facebook account in that age range and be in a certain area and see those ads. Does that make sense? Get on other people's, there's a bunch of stuff here, depending what market you're in. Get on other people's email list. So if you have competitors in the marketplace, create a different email account. Okay, on Gmail, they're free. Gmail. And then you could do a Yahoo address, whatever. And go to their websites and fill out their forms. And see how they market to you. Okay? It could be a roofing contractor. And you'll see, go to a site where they don't do a lot of what I'm telling you. And then you'll be on sites that they do. And you'll be like, oh, this is why they make money. Right? So do that. That's another way to kind of research a marketplace. Where did I go? Know your market. Skip one. Sorry, guys. I don't have a screen to look at, so I'm looking at my phone while I'm doing this. So research, Google your market, add the word blog or forum. You can go look at, like, where are people hanging out? Facebook groups. You can go look at what they're talking about. Right? If I have a home business, I could find some Facebook groups about home business, and I could go enter some of those discussions and see what they're talking about, right? I give me an opportunity to use form, create relationships, and market my products and services. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm not matched up on my thing, so I'm going to go off the screen with y'all. Know your market on mobile, too. My iPad dropped, so I don't even know how much time I have. This is something in our office. I have 6 or 7 phones usually in our office. Androids, iPhones, you don't have to do this. There's a service called cross-browser testing. It's very inexpensive. It's pretty amazing about what you can see. But the bottom line with this is to understand. I'm sorry, I don't know. There you go. I'm on the same page with you now. Is to understand what a user's experience is. How much time do you spend on this thing? Too much, a lot, right? Well, guess what your market is. They're on it too. I think Danny said 9 hours a day on some type of media or social media or something the other day. That's a lot of time. How many of you, when you go to the bathroom, have this with you? You don't have to raise your hand. But I would imagine most of you do, actually, right? It's what you do. It's like the new newspaper on the toilet. See, this is just deep stuff this morning. But that's how attached we are to this thing. Like, you don't let this out of your sight. Like, you leave your home, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have my phone. Oh my gosh, we have to turn around. Yeah, but we're going to be late to our own wedding. I don't care. I need my phone. So you better know what's going on here, right? You better know what's going on here. I shared with you my one company I launched recently and how much growth we had. You know why I believe one of the main reasons we grew is I heard the founders of Google probably 5 years ago say that most of their marketing, it was like 99% of their revenue into research and development, was on this. They abandoned desktop. That's your computer you sit in front of. Does that make sense? So if people who are worth like a lot of money are putting all their research into this, we probably should do the same thing. So that's what I did, and we experienced some major growth because I got really good at this. So in our office, we'll like be on a website, we'll be testing something. I always ask, did you look on your cell phone? No, Jeff, I was on my desktop. No, get on your cell phone. Most offices discourage cell phone use. I encourage it. Because it's so important to know what your user experience here is. Cross-browser testing is one I just threw out there. You can actually plug in any website. You can pick any type of like desktop computer, Apple, Mac, Windows-based. You can be on any type of Android phone, Apple phone. It's just kind of cool because your website looks different on a lot of different devices. You might think it looks beautiful on your little computer sitting at home, and then you'll be sending people to it. Man, nothing's working. That stuff, Jeff, I must have a wedgie. A lot of wedgies wind up right here. There's a lot of dry spots right here. You say, hey, it looks great, but nobody's actually giving me their name and email. Nobody's following through on what they said. And a lot of the time, the problem is your website will not look good here, right? You got to remember, this is where people are. So get off your desktops and look at your marketing right here. I can't stress that enough. In fact, this is from our traffic I pulled. 74.43% of our traffic is on a mobile phone. Tablet, 8.2%. 17.3% is desktop. That's not a lot, is it? So if you're marketing to the 17.3% and spending 100% of your money trying to hit, but you're forgetting that, what is that, 82.7 or whatever, you're going to lose money. Does that make sense? So you've got to know your device and who you're marketing to on a device. Just make sure, the bottom line, to keep this simple, make sure your website works here, right? If that's all you did when you walked out of here, it would probably help you a lot. Make sure if you have a presentation, if people go to a presentation, can they watch it here? They're not going to watch it on their desktops. They're going to slip out on a coffee break or during work and watch it, right? Make sure you have a mute button on anything you ever put here. Most Facebook ads, if you've noticed, are quiet, right? Why is that? Because people are in their offices looking at Facebook, and you don't want to have a video come up that's loud. That's the truth. Okay? So if you run any type of Facebook ads, always have the text on the ad. You have to know your market. Where are they seeing your ad? If you're running a video ad on Facebook and you're expecting people to hear it, they ain't not going to hear it unless they click on it, which then they're like, oh, crap, and they're trying to turn it down and turn it off, and like, I'm going to get fired. Unless you're in my office. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, be on your phone. I can't stress that enough.
That is
so that's the kind of recap on the green light system. Let's keep moving. So does it have high traffic? Again, this could be a domain. I'm applying it to websites. This could be any business, offline, online. Again, look at who's the most successful person in your marketplace. Look at the top three. What do they do? And study them. You got to become a marketer. Go be a client of theirs. Go buy product. Go return product. Go get on the phone with their people who call you. Go subscribe to their email list. Get off their email list. Go abandon their cart. Like, in other words, you have something in the cart, you leave it. Go see what they do. Does that make sense? Because if you're just trying to figure it out on your own, you're going to get your butt kicked. Okay? You're going to get crushed. So, I'm through like 10 of my slides. How are they getting traffic? There's a website called SimilarWeb.com. You can just use the free version of it. I'm going to run through just a quick example, very quick. It will show you people's traffic on their website. There's a paid version too, but even the free version, honestly, you'll get like the top five sources of traffic. Not only where traffic's coming from, but it shows you where traffic's going, which that's a lot of good information. And they give it to you for free. It's called SimilarWeb.com. There you go. It shows you. It's the most accurate one that I found that we use. There's a lot of them out there. But it works really, really amazing. Again, you'll get the notes on even the slides I don't get over, which is definitely going to happen. You'll get all of that. All right, let's do just a quick example of an online example. So let's say you're a dog trainer, and that's your market. You love dogs, and you want to create a product about training dogs. Or maybe you're a local dog trainer. This actually would work. I mean, we have people in my area. I see advertisements for how to, like, Mr. Poop or something, to, like, not have your dog poop in the house, right? It's a similar thing. So let's just look at an example. So what I did is I go to Google, and I type in basically how to potty train my dog. And I see who's there. So let's say I want to train people how to train dogs or not poop in the house. So I type in how to potty train. Actually, I did a golden retriever. And guess what happened on Google? There's an ad there. So ding, 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 there's somebody spending money to get clients. It's a good first indicator, right? Because if they're paying for the people to come to their website, if they don't make money, they're not going to keep paying for people to come to their website. Does that make sense? The domain was called thedogtrainingsecret.com. So let's take a look at green light 1 and 2. We just want to look. I'm going to use SimilarWeb in this example. I don't know if you can see that graphic. Again, you'll get the slides. But basically, that's looking at the traffic. I think it's the last 6 months is what I had it set to there or something like that. And it's like 167,000 people a month going to the website. That's a lot of traffic, right? So if I want to train dogs, this would be a good site to look at. Now, some of your businesses, it might be 5,000 people a month. It might be 1,000. It might be 10,000. You know, the amount of traffic is really more relevant to the market that you're into. Does that make sense? Don't ignore it if it's low traffic. Look for the consistency in it as well. Does that make sense? See how that curve is, or the chart, it's going across. It's not like he just started 2 months ago. In fact, I did this example 5 years ago when I did an event. This is the same guy. He's been doing it for at least 5 to 6 years, the same thing. I don't hope one of my students would have ripped this off by now and be making money training dogs. Because somebody's obviously making a lot of money doing it. This is from another website called follow.net. It's a free website for you to use as well. And it'll show you the same things. This gives me a little bit more history. It's hard to read in the slide, but you can check it out. It'll show you, again, you're just looking at traffic. Have they bought traffic? Do they have traffic to their site? Is it consistent? All right, when you find a site, click on it. What are they doing? Right? So let's say I was a dog trainer. I would click on the site. I would look at it. Let's say I'm a competitor in a wedding venue. I would click on the site. I would look at their site. What are they doing to market their business? There's a thing. This is really techie, too. It's just not. It's called View Source. You go in your browser. You hit View Source, and sometimes you can find out stuff there. But what's the headline? What is their landing page? The landing page is the website they go to first, right? What does it look like? Why might that be working? Go through their sales process. Is this making sense? It's pretty simple, okay? You're just looking at what's working. Again, this is what Danny teaches in every other aspect. You know, model Danny, right? Model what she's teaching with marketing, with your marriage, with your kids, right? There's a success model. Just do it. Lower our egos with our online businesses and learn from others who are already crushing it, right? Or get crushed. Okay. Green light number 4. So can we recreate a website like this? So, or a business. I mean, if you're in plumbing, you should probably be able to recreate what another plumber's doing, right? If If I have a wedding venue, I should be. If I have a home business and somebody's marketing a certain way, guess what? I can recreate the same marketing sequences that I see that are successful. Okay, and find out where they're advertising and go capture that advertising and grow my company. Does that make sense? So I'm going to skip this slide. You're going to get it. It's just a lot of stuff. So that was the overview of this. The good news is most marketers are clueless. They get success in one area if they're lucky. Then they stop. They get lazy. They stop doing what works. So don't be like them, right? You're learning this, but when you start implementing this and putting it into play, you don't want to become like most marketers, right? You want to keep getting success. You want to keep growing your business. You want to keep equipping your team and growing and growing and growing. All right, step four is to build a list. So this goes, you start with your list of resources in your business, right? That's building your list. You're taking the time to write it out. That's a list. You now have a list. How do you build a list? Write out 200 names. That's pretty exciting, right? It's pretty easy to do. Anybody can do that. Same thing now. If you're doing what I've just taught in online marketing, you've found a market. You have your own market. A lot of you are already in a market. You've found somebody who's very successful, and you've replicated their traffic. And guess what they're probably doing? They're probably doing what? Building a list. So that's why I said get on their list, right? Put your name and email on. Look at how Danny Johnson, how their team, and they market to you, right? Study it. They're very, very good at what they do. You can learn from them. She wants you to learn from them, right? Study. Why did I click on this email? Why did I open this email? So as you build a list, you can do the same type of tactics, right? Good. You can reverse engineer email. I talked a little bit about this. Go to your competitors' websites. I have like, I don't know, I'd have to ask Paul back there. We probably have like 30 or 40 different email accounts. We go, we fill out different forms, we track it all. It's kind of crazy. I'm dorky like that. But I want to study what my market does. Like, did they open? What happens if I don't open an email for 30 days? Do they stop emailing me? I don't know. I want to know. What happens if I click on an email on day 31? What happens then? Did I get another email right away? Because a lot of people will use, there's different email services. There's like GetResponse, AWeber, iContact. You can just type in autoresponder service on Google and you'll find good services. But you can study how they're marketing, right? What are they doing? And the good, here's what's going to happen as you start doing this, is you'll find things that are working on some sites, but you won't find them on others who are your competitors. Guess what? That's good news. Because that means you can actually have an advantage against competition in an area that they're not implementing. Does that make sense? Again, study the devices. Stay on your phones when you're looking at marketing. You guys get that point? If that's like all you get from what I've presented today, follow your market on this phone. Always. I would if I had time. I could comment on it. Just follow how you're being marketed to on your phone. I mean, there's not much more depth than that other than if you have competitors who are marketing on Facebook. You should be a fan of their page. You should see how they're marketing. If you have competitors that do, you know, Google ads, you should be looking at their ads. How do they look here? How do their ads appear on Facebook? If you have competitors who do email, what does your email look like when you open it on this versus a desktop? You ever think about that? Because you write some emails where it'll look great on a desktop, but all you'll see is like, hello, on your phone, right? That's a problem. It's not going to work. Make sense? So always focus on the user experience of what they're doing. Again, this is not rocket science. It's like five really simple steps, things that I do in our business that you need to do in your business as well. And you'll get these slides that get into some other stuff. Honestly, our strategies have changed a little bit as far as building our list. We actually discourage people from opting in or becoming a lead as much as we can now, because we found that it's not worth it just getting leads for the heck of it. You want people who are engaged, right? We scrub data to make sure we pull out people who aren't good. And there's services I have here. You'll get the slides. We use a double opt strategy. So somebody says, hey, I want your email. We say, great, we're going to send you another one. Click on it if you really want our email. Okay? Now our lists are very interactive. Does that make sense? Versus just trying. A lot of times we think we just need to get everybody and just send them everything. Well, that doesn't work. I can tell you from a lot of experience it won't. And we make it clear that they're going to receive email from us. So don't try to just get people's information. Like, be upfront about what the process is, what's going on. So that's what I've got to share for this morning. You'll get the slides on all of this. Thank you all so much. I hope that you're ready for the rest of the day. It's going to be amazing with Danny. We're going to take a quick, thank you. We're going to take a quick 10-minute break, and then we'll be back in here. So look at your clocks.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Hi. Good morning. Is it on? Yeah. I can see it. Please sit down. Please don't do that. Oh, my gosh, it's the worst. We'll try it there. Yeah, we'll try it there. It's so awesome. So how did you enjoy Jeff this morning? Yes. Incredible. You learned some things. Had your brains so good. Had your brains blown. You ought to see he and Hans together. He and Hans did an event together some years back, and oh, it was amazing, these two internet gurus, if you will. Why is the room dark again?
Yeah.
Chad or somebody who can answer the question. Yeah, we got it. Yes. This sucks.
Yes.
Puts people to sleep, yes. And I can't see eyeballs. Yes. If I can't see eyeballs, it's over. It's over. You like? It's like pajamas. The whole thing is pajamas. Okay. You do. Yeah, I got them for the sapphires. These are for sapphires. Because Danny doesn't do bling, but I'm doing it right now. You know what I need right now, even though this thing is supposed to be like this? Does anyone have scissors? Need them. Oh, never mind. I got it. I got it. That was... Get off of me. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I slept last night. This was amazing. That's the first night I slept since I've been here. So that's been cool. What was I going to tell you? Last night when I was praying for you guys and this morning when I was praying for you guys, I was just weeping. Like, we really have the greatest community. We really do. We have, like, the greatest people to do life with. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where else you can go and do that. I mean, I wish that I went to a church like you people. You know what I mean? I wish I got to buy groceries from you. Do you know what I mean? I wish I could do, like, all business just from you that you lived in my little town. But that would suck. You would hate it. Our little town is not someplace a lot of people can live. I think it's a huge city to me because I am a small town girl. But I'm really impressed with just the character of who you are, and this is why I'm saying this. Just the manager that we're working with the hotel, Mona was just complimenting her about how awesome she's been. She's like, you guys have been as well. She goes, in fact, throughout the whole hotel, all the staff is just saying, these are the nicest people.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So you guys are making an impact on the staff that is here so much so that they're talking about you behind the scenes. So that's pretty awesome. And that's usually the reports that we get of you. So it just goes to show that you're putting into practice things like form and gems, and you're honoring, you know, the people that are working here. That just, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have to take this and spread it everywhere. You know what I mean? We gotta be like ants, you know, go, or cockroaches, or I don't know what we need to be, but whatever it is that spreads like crazy, a disease, you know what I mean? An outbreak of something. Not herpes, but something would be good. You know, it's got to be something. My limited vocabulary does me an injustice sometimes. My lack of formal education sometimes shows. And, of course, the white trash girl sometimes still comes out. But I'm a lot better than I used to be, I promise. I really, a lot better. Okay, what I want to do this morning Listen, I want to hone in on a few different things before we end today. And we're ending today at 4:30. I know you saw that on the website. The hotel has to do a quick turnaround. We're starting at 9. We start at 9:30 to make all that work. And anyway, so I want to focus in on closing today. And I want to focus in on helping other people to succeed, which largely you've already gone through a lot of training over the last 2 days concerning that between GEMS and FORM. But I kind of just want to fine-tune that. I want to go a little bit deeper so that you're crossing in your head the bridge over to the other side about what it actually takes to help people succeed. So let's first start with helping people to make decisions. This is really a very important skill set to master. Closing is really super important. And I'm really fortunate and unfortunate that I taught my kids how to do that. I'm serious. It's amazing to see my kids in action closing people. But when I'm on that side of it, it's like, and it's really awesome. They don't try to close me on things that I don't necessarily, they generally do close me on things I'm not necessarily wanting to do at that moment. But I'm usually glad that I decided to do it. But my daughter, Erica, recently, she's the sneaky one. She's not sneaky in a bad way, but she's just the one that you don't expect is going to close you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, she's like super service oriented, and she really has picked up a side of her mom and the training from her mom that has been really surprising to me. Meaning she's the cook, she's the cleanup person, just like her mother, and the one that just loves to get in and serve. And she's kind of quiet about it. And believe it or not, I am too. In my home, I'm not the... Well, first of all, you have hired me for free to come here and talk to you for 3 days. So your perception of me is, man, that broad talks a lot. You know what I mean? But at home, I really don't. And at home, I get other people to talk, right? Meaning I practice what I preach. And there are times where it's like, I have to talk. And, you know, then I do that. So anyway, but Erica, she's the quiet one. And she, you know, just kind of is sneaky about her ways. And she just kind of does these things. So anyway, we're at our family camp out. And we're playing cards. I'm not going to tell you what game we were playing. My kids have found this game is terrible. But it makes everyone laugh a lot. Anyway, it's cards with something about humanity. And wow. Got to learn a lot about how much my kids knew. Like, what the heck is that? And they're like, Mom, it's like, wow. Okay. So anyway, so Erica is, she sends me this text and she says, Mom, I'm writing some sales copy. I'm like, oh, really? And I want to know what you think about this copy that I'm writing. I'm like, all right. And so she texts me this copy, and I'm like, wow, I would totally want to hire those services, the housekeeping. And I clean my own house, right? And I'm a stickler about cleaning my own house. I don't hire someone to clean my house. I'm not homeschooling anymore. I don't have, you know, a bazillion kids in my house anymore. There's no reason why I can't clean my house. And I could clean my house back then, too, where there were times where my travel schedule would warrant where I could use a break right now, and I can have somebody come in and do it. So she sends me this text, and she says... that's the other thing I need to talk about. She sends me this text, and she said, you know, and the text like was like, dang. I said, I would almost want to hire this person to come and clean my house. This is pretty freaking amazing. And she, next day we're at this, you know, camp thing and at the lake, and she says, so Mom, you know, I have this friend, and she is close to being a single mom right now, and she's got two kids, and you know who it is. Her name's Elizabeth, and you know, she is, like, super organized like you, and she's super detail-oriented, and she believes in using antibacterial-type cloths, the same cloths that you use in the house, and I know how much you care about helping, you know, people get on their feet, and that, you know, you really appreciate it when someone someone is looking to help themselves and to solve their own problems, and they're using their internal skill sets that they already have to be able to put that into practice and hit the marketplace and provide for themselves so that they're not dependent on society, but they are solving problems and meeting needs for people. And so I was thinking that it would be a really good idea, because I know your heart, and your heart is really to help people to succeed, and your heart is to give people an opportunity so that they can rise up on their own and build a business and become entrepreneurial and set that example for their children. And so this is why I'm thinking that next Tuesday, or perhaps even tomorrow while we're here at the lake, that Elizabeth should be allowed to come into the house and go ahead and clean the house for you, so that when we all get back to the house to finish out our week party, that it'll be completely set already for you. But then you know that you are helping a single mom who has been abused, and she uses excellence and diligence and these non-bacterial, no chemicals at all, and she's detail-oriented just like you, and you'll be able to help to give this woman that opportunity to succeed for herself. Wow. I was like, I sat there and like my belly's going, oh my gosh, like, how do I say no? How do I say no? How do I say, I know what you're doing. You just emerald pearled me. That's what you just did. That's what she just did. She just spoke my language, hardcore. And I'm like, so I'm having this inner conflict, and inside of me, I'm like, I clean my own house. I don't need to pay someone to clean my house. But mom, you know how you really believe in helping people and people who want to be able to succeed, and you want to give them an opportunity to take care of themselves. This abused mom, you know, who's trying to get out on her own feet, and it certainly will help you. You don't have to worry about it when you get home. I'm like, wow. So I had this internal thing, and that's what happens, that when you are a good closer, you're going to bring people to a decision that, even in the case, like, for example, could I afford $200 to have somebody come in and clean my house? Yes. Absolutely. Would it make sense to do that? Yeah, we were at a lake house. I didn't finish everything before we started this whole thing. I literally came from Dynasty, went straight into whatever. It doesn't matter. But my house was good enough, right? And so she goes, so I know how you feel, that you would like everything to just be perfectly in order. And by the way, mom, just in case someone comes to look to buy the house, those windows, you know, you didn't quite get to the windows. And it just so happens that Elizabeth is excellent with windows. So I want to point out everything that she did. Number one, she spoke my gem to me. She spoke my gem to me. She even spoke my passion to me, right? Number two is she was filling multiple needs. You see, I have a need to fill other people's needs. I do. I have a need to fill other people's needs. And I also had needs, but see, my needs, I have a tendency to put my needs on the back burner. I'll figure it out and I can take care of it. And my daughter knows that because she knows me. So she's filling my need to help other needs be fed. Plus on the backside, you know, those windows, I'm like, yeah, okay, well, no big deal. Oh, well, so what? Someone comes and they see my windows dirty. Who cares? If that's not why they buy the house, it is what it is, right? So She pitched me an opportunity for me to help somebody else by hiring them. To do something I don't want someone to do. So this created a conflict in my belly, and because she kept what was in front of me, what was important to me, which what is important to me is giving someone an opportunity to take care of themselves, to be entrepreneurial, to set that example for the children, using their skill sets, using excellence and diligence. She's also making the bridge connection that she doesn't use any chemicals, but uses antibacterial rags to be able to take care of everything and makes everything glisten, and then continues that when you get home, everything's going to be perfect and you don't have to worry about it. So this is what happens when you speak the language and you put the needs of the person and what matters most to them. She easily could have pitched me with, Elizabeth is looking for new customers to clean. Would you like to hire her?
Right.
The answer is no, I don't want to hire her. Why do I not want to hire her? Because I clean my own freaking house. That's why. I don't want someone else to clean my house. I scrub my own toilets. I scrub my own floors on my hands and knees. So I take care of my own house. I don't need someone else to take care of my house. I rather feed the orphan, the sick, the widow, and take care of the trafficked than have to hire someone to clean my house. So no, I don't need someone to clean my house. So do you see the difference? Because other people will approach, and many amateur business people will position what they have based on what they like about what they're selling and doing versus the way that my brilliant stay-at-home mother daughter pitched me was completely on my gem, filling my needs and what was important to me. And she knew intuitively that hiring somebody to clean my house is not an option. However, she created a win-win opportunity for me, is what she did. So can you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So this is why form and gems is so important, and that you disconnect yourself from what you love about your product or your service, or what you think is most important about your product and your service, and you simply position it to be about what the person desires and what matters to them instead of what you think should matter to them.
Brilliant.
Do you understand? Because most of us will do what we think should matter to someone else, because what we think matters to us, we think should matter to others. So you literally have to disconnect yourself from that place and position it to where what matters more to the person. And so, I mean, that was probably the most brilliant sales job I have ever heard for housekeeping. Think about it. She didn't really sell me anything about house cleaning. She sold me the opportunity to help somebody. Sold me the opportunity to help a single mom who's been abused, who's trying to get out from under the abuser, and giving her an opportunity. And again, entrepreneurial, setting that example for her children, not just being a burden on society, but doing something for herself, like, sing me a love song. She sang me a love song for a $200 house cleaning deal. Yeah, I freaking hired her. Yeah. Yeah, she went the next day. The next day, the girl showed up in my house, and so when we all came home, 2 days later, the house was all done, and that was all great, fine, and dandy. Did I need it? No. But did I do a good thing? Do I feel good about it? Once I got home and I saw it, was I relieved? Yes.
Was it excellent?
Yes, it was excellent, but of course, you know.
Yeah.
Just gonna leave it right there. I'm just going to leave that right there. Let's just say I felt good that I helped out a single mom. I'm just going to leave it right there. You know what else that my daughter did, which I thought was also very profound? She called me like 4 or 5 days later, and she says, Mom, Elizabeth is, first of all, Mom, thanks so much. And mind you, Erica is not. Now, I just want you to look at this entire circle here. Erica is not in business with Elizabeth. Erica is simply just helping Elizabeth build her business. Okay? Erica's not being paid. She's not a partner in the business. None of that stuff. She is simply just sees a friend who's attempting to build a business, and Erica, as a stay-at-home mom, is doing what she can to help her friend build that business. Okay? That's community, is what that is. That's a reaping and sowing deal, is what that is. That's what that is. She's not just out for herself. Now, mind you, her husband sells insurance. Erica's husband sells insurance, and he's ripping it. I'm so proud of him. And so now, you know, Elizabeth maybe one day will need car insurance or need homeowner's insurance or want to buy, you know, whatever death insurance, because that's really what it is, whatever death insurance that she may need. You've never thought about that? It's death insurance. That's what it is. I die, my family gets cash. It's death insurance. It's not life insurance. So Erica is helping out her friend. Okay, so that's one thing right there. She's meeting a need. She's given a referral, but she calls me back a couple of days after we had all gotten home and the party was all done. And she says, Mom, first of all, thank you so much for allowing Elizabeth to come and for hiring her. She was really super grateful. And Elizabeth really cares about the quality of service in which she is providing for her clients. And she wants to make sure that she's doing an excellent job. And she's really looking for feedback from every person that she is walking into their house and making sure that she's done a really good job, because she really, really wants to meet the needs of her clients, and she really wants to hit the target specifically by what that specific client wants. What is she speaking to me? Yep. She's freaking emerald to me, right? Okay, now, this is so important. Feedback. Feedback is not an attack. To an amateur, feedback is an attack. To an immature person, feedback is an attack. And so feedback actually helps you hit the target. Yes. And so here she's calling me to get feedback for Elizabeth. And she says, so how did you feel like the house was? How did you feel like she did? And I'm like, she did good. She did good. Mom. She did fine. She did good. Like, I'm grateful that she came. You know, she's probably new to the profession, and she's gonna do fine. She says, well, she had a complaint from somebody else, and I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, well, tell me about that. And so she told me, and I said, well, okay, well, if she really is about getting feedback, then I'd love to give you some feedback. I'll send you some pictures. Because, of course, I took pictures. You're learning a lot about me right now. You're learning a few things about me.
Beautiful gift.
Yes, and so because she positioned it the way that she did, right? Because she positioned it the way she did, is that Elizabeth is looking to really serve her clients the best way she can. She wants to hit the bullseye. She wants to make sure that she gets recommended again and again and again. And she's looking for feedback. So she wants to know any place where she missed it. Any place that you saw something that you would like to have known better so that next time she can do a better job. Okay. Now I know you think that that's good, but you need to do that with your own prospects and your own clients, your employees, your everybody. You need to do it with your spouse, with your kids. Feedback is hugely important, because it helps you to serve and to hit the bullseye. If you just keep running on the track that you're on, you're always gonna get what you got. Do you understand? But feedback helps to tell you where it is that you're, where you have opportunities to improve, i.e. where you suck, or where you're lacking, right? Where you're lacking, where you need to make improvements. And then the feedback also tells you where you're doing really good and maybe to focus some more of your time and effort in, right? So most people, especially amateurs in business, they don't like feedback. And especially leaders. Leaders generally don't ask for feedback. They don't. Parents generally don't ask for feedback of their children. They just simply don't. People just bulldoze through life, assuming what they're doing is enough and they've got it right. That's the worst thing you could ever assume. So as a leader of companies, organizations, or a family, you want to get in the habit of asking for feedback from those that you live with and those that you work with. It's really important, especially as a business owner. Asking feedback from your customers. What do they like about what they have seen or what they have experienced? Asking your employees, asking the people that you're in joint ventures with. It's really important to say, how did this work out for you? How do you feel this relationship is going for you? Because I'm going to tell you something. In business, a lot of people are always in it for a one-way street instead of a two-way deal. So even when you have, and this is something really important, and I'm really, really grateful that, I don't know where the mindset came from. It had to be from God because I was such a wench, and I'm not as much of a wench as I used to be. But this is really important. Especially when you engage in a business relationship, especially in the beginning, it's very important to I'll just tell you. I just promoted somebody in another organization that I am responsible for, that I don't get paid to do anything with it, but I'm responsible for it. And so I promoted somebody into a position, and we're going to test him for 90 days. And so when I was sitting across the table with him and I was talking about putting him in this role, and it's a pretty substantial role, that communication is really important to me, and that we need to, on a weekly basis, as you're venturing into this new role, it's important for us to have feedback with each other to see how it's going, because you might encounter some things that might overwhelm you, that you might be that you might not like, that you thought on the outside looking in, like, oh, I could totally do that, but maybe, you know, a month from now you might be thinking, oh, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I want to do this. I think I bit off more than I can chew. And so I told him, I said, we have to have a good feedback loop on perceptions, what you thought you were supposed to do, what you thought you were getting yourself into, what I thought you were saying you would do, what I thought you were committing to. And so this way we can make sure that we find the common ground to where everything is really clear and it's a perfectly greased chute and everything's moving perfectly. So that's super important to do. And like I said, a lot of leaders, a lot of parents don't do any, and a lot of husbands and a lot of wives don't have any feedback loop with their spouses, with their children, or with the people that they're working with. To just say simply, how do you feel about this? How is this working for you? Do you feel like I communicated clearly to you as to what the expectations were? Is there any adjustments that need to be made? I'm giving you the exact questions of a feedback loop that I use, whether it's with our clients, whether it's with our employees, my children. I ask these questions of my children, of my grandchildren, and of my husband. How did you feel yesterday went? Like, for example, we had our whole camp out. It's not a camp out, it was a whatever. We have something called the Johnson Family Tribe Week. So it's the week that all the kids and grandkids, everyone's together, typically under one roof. We have three meals, well, it's 17 meals a day together. We as a family really love to eat. Play games together, whatever. We have all kinds of activities that we do together because everyone's, you know, everyone's like adults and gone, and so we want to get everyone together. So even in that, so at the end of that week, okay, guys, how did you feel about it? Did you like where we did this? What would you like to see more of? What would you like to see less of? What were the highlights for you? Any changes or any ideas? Do you have any ideas of what we can do next year? Where would you like to do it? This is what the budget is. So what ideas do you have? And we also help people take ownership, and that's another thing. So especially because, again, we're kind of moving. By the way, everything I'm talking about is closing, positioning, and helping people to succeed. These are all three of these things are lumped in this one conversation, okay? Closing, helping people to succeed, and positioning. So if you position yourself, let's just say this. If you position yourself, let's say this. Know-it-alls don't want feedback. Know-it-alls don't ask for feedback. Unteachable people don't ask for feedback. They're afraid of it. They're insecure. And that insecurity just says, I'm just going to bulldoze and keep doing what I'm doing, instead of looking to serve in a customized way and keeping the least amount of hurt feelings out of the picture, the least amount of problems to arise, communication up front, prevents problems in the future. It's so true. So a know-it-all ain't going to ask the question of their spouse, their significant other, their children, the kind of questions that I'm encouraging you to ask. Because everyone has perception of what they think you're saying. Everyone has a perception of what the expectation is. And if there's no communication, there is just frustration. Yes. And frustration causes blow-ups. Yep. okay? Frustration causes a customer to not do business with you anymore, and it's simply because there's a lack of communication, okay? So if you want to prevent frustration in your organization or your family, it's important to have a feedback loop. You know, hey, everybody, what did you think of dinner? Would you like to have this one again? I've asked that question like 1,000 times. You know, what did you, okay, I know you don't like green beans, however, comma, sometimes we're just going to have them. Is there a different green that you would like to see on your plate? No. Okay, well, I'm sorry. You have to poop, and green makes you poop. It's just how it works. So at some point, you're going to come to that revelation that you got to poop. And if it's not green, you're not going to poop. So anyway, that's, you know, obviously when the kids were young. All right, so as far as closing goes, it's the easiest and simplest way to learn how to close is to communicate and to ask a lot of questions. Get used to asking questions. And so, like, for example, in the script books, with who here has the script books? Okay, the vast majority of you. In the script books, it has several different closes that are in that book. And the point is to start you on a path of asking questions. Now, if you have a sales organization, what's important is that you're very duplicatable in your process. If you don't have like a set of questions that you're asking, then that doesn't give somebody else a track to run on with the same set of questions. People have to have something very simple to follow, and if it's not simple, they won't follow. If it's not simple, they will create. Do you hear me? They will create. They will create something else. They'll do it their own way, and they will not have success. So between closing and helping people to succeed and positioning, these three things are really important, that you have a track that people can actually run on. And that's why I created the script books, was because that was a simple track that people could run on, and there's no guesswork. If you take the guesswork out, then that helps people to succeed. The less amount of time that they have to think, the more they can be doing, okay? The more that you make people think, the less they get done. The more you make them think, the less they do. So the less you make them think, they have nothing but to do. So the process has to be really super simple. And if a child can do the process, anyone can do the process. So if a child can't do your process, the process is not a good process. Okay, so it has to be very, very simple. Especially today, people's lives are crowded with too much, right? How many of you say that your head is crowded with just, right? It's just, there's just too much crap going on, right? So a simple track is something that the mind automatically and very easily runs on. And that's how you want it to go. So with a simple close, I want to teach you just the simplest of all closes. That should always be your default close, or it may even be the close that you choose to lead with most of the time. And so when I was homeless and I started in that business and I started in the weight loss business, there was a close that I used majority of the time. And it was especially for customers. So if I was building a viral customer base, this one close that I actually picked up from a billionaire has really been like probably my best close as far as a weapon, always in my back pocket. It's if everything else is failing, I use this close. And most of the time I just lead with that close because it has worked way too well for too many years. And here it is. It's a really simple one. So I want you to imagine there was this guy. He's a billionaire. He had a ninth grade education, by the way. A ninth grade education, he became a billionaire. And he had a very simple close. And he ran a $2 billion company by the time I had met him. And his close was, I don't know about that. All I know is. That was his close. He built a multi-billion dollar corporation on that close. I don't know about that. All I know is. Now, there's different variations of that close, but that's the simple thing to remember. I don't know about that. All I know is. And so, you know, it could be, say, you can forget. Let's just start with that. So it's a really funny story because he happened to be in a symposium with a bunch of other entrepreneurs, and these were all heads of huge corporations. And each one of these heads of these huge corporations had an opportunity to speak. And so he got up to give a tip for, you know, what he felt helped his business to succeed. And he got up and he simply said, he says, well, I really don't know about that. All I know is my granny started on this stuff and she lost 25 pounds. And for any reason that you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. And he kept going off on that. He just kept saying the same thing again and again and again. He goes, we have a very simple system, and I don't really know about all the complicated things y'all are doing. All I do know is that I got so-and-so started on this, and they lost this much weight, and this is how they felt. And for any reason that you're not satisfied, you'll get your money back. It was hilarious. The next speaker that came up, who, you know, had a very successful business, came up right after him, and she says, you know what? I got to tell you, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. She says, however, one of your reps happened to come to my house, and I drilled that person with question after question after question, and all she said to every one of my questions was, I don't know about that. All I know is I lost 25 pounds, and for any reason you're not satisfied, we will give your money back. I asked her how much vitamin A was in the product, and she said the same thing. I don't know about that. All I know is I got started on this stuff, and I lost this much weight, and if you're not satisfied, we will give your money back. And I asked her about how much vitamin C was in it, and she says, I don't know about that. All I know is I got started on this, and I lost 25 pounds. He goes, and she said she did this continuously. I asked her again and again, how, you know, what was in it? Where is it manufactured? Who made this stuff? Has anyone died on this? And she just kept saying, I don't know about that. All I know is my friend got started on this stuff. She's lost 10 pounds. If any reason you're not satisfied, you'll get your money back. Okay, so who's the president of this organization? She's, I don't know about that. All I know is I got started on this stuff. My friend got started. My mother got started on this. For any reason that you're not satisfied, we'll give you your money back. And she says, and I have to tell you, it is the dumbest thing and the most annoying thing I've ever heard. She goes, but I got started on that stuff, and I have lost 20 pounds. And I am thoroughly satisfied, and I don't want my money back. So the bottom line is this, that the human mind is looking for results, and they're looking for proof that something works. And so that particular close and that way of handling objections cuts to the chase, stops the dance, the long way around the mountain, and just says to the mind that is looking for results, this is the result. And we'll give you a way out. If you don't like it, you'll get your money back. It's truly that simple. Right? So it's a simple script, and it's something that everybody can do. And can a kid do it? A kid can say, you know, I don't know about that. All I know is they can say that. For any reason that you're not satisfied, well, then we can stop. Whatever it is, right? That's how I get closed also by my, hey, you know, if you try her once and you don't like it, no big deal. Cancel. Who cares? Right? So it's a very disarming close, and people like to be disarmed. People are under a tremendous amount of pressure today. And so whatever it is that you can do to help disarm pressure in people, do it. Whatever it is that you can do that relieves pressure and doesn't overload them with too much information and too many ingredients and too many facts and too many statistics, all of those things just crowd people's heads. They give them something that they've got to read. I recently had something happen, actually. Okay, so I can be a sucker for certain sales processes, and I recently was a sucker for a sales process. What was I looking for? I came across, okay, yes, it was on Facebook. Okay, so there's this guy on Facebook. He's probably around my age, and he's fit, and he's talking about his wife, right? And his wife is fit, and she had, you know, she had cancer, and, you know, she helped beat the cancer. And he's just speaking so highly about his wife, and he's talking about fitness, and he's talking about getting lean. And, you know, it's for the people who are over 45, you know, and our bodies are different. Yeah, I'm like, BS. You know, but he's doing good. He's targeting a specific age group. He's targeting his age group. He's talking specifically to them and the needs of those people and all of their freaking excuses, right? And so I'm going, okay, that's kind of cool. I want to check out what he's doing. So then I click add to cart, right? And then it brings me through a series of upsells, one after another, after another. Well, the entire thing, you don't know it until it's all done, that it's all digital. Me and digital, forget about it. I thought I was getting a book or some audios or some DVDs. Give me the physical thing where I can sit down and I can watch it. And so that's okay, now I'm getting all these emails and I have to download. I'm like, I'm out. I was totally overwhelmed. The 10 steps it takes to download the stuff I'm done. Goodbye. I'm out. And I'm getting drilled with emails about steps to download. Download this. Now you got to download this. Now you got to download this. Oh, and if you can't download on your phone, use your computer. I'm like, I don't travel with a computer. I open my computer maybe once every 3 months. Maybe. I don't even use that thing anymore. I don't even use my iPad except for working out sometimes when I'm traveling only. So that complicated process, even though we had something that I wanted, the complicated process and all the multiple steps to be able to engage with it, right away I sent an email saying, give me a refund. I'm out. This is too much. I don't understand it. It's too difficult for me. Goodbye. But I got to tell you about their service. It was amazing. The woman emails me back. Hi, Stella. Because I never use my real name. I don't use my real name. Are you freaking crazy? I don't use my real name. You know how many freaking times I've called to order something and I give my name and they go, like Danny Johnson? Frick! Wait, like Danny Johnson, like DannyJohnson.com? Is that who I'm talking to? I'm like, yes. Oh my gosh, I've been following you for years. I've read First Steps to Wealth. I'm like, Kaka, can I please get my hemorrhoid cream? I'm joking. I'm joking. Totally joking. I threw a good one at you, but or whatever it was that I bought, it wasn't hemorrhoid cream. Or whatever, right? You have to admit that was funny. Anyway, what was I saying? Whatever, something stupid. Stella. So I use Stella. I'm Stella when I called her. Yes, thanks. So anyway, so she calls me. I mean, she sends me an email. Hi, Stella. First of all, thank you so much for having an interest in blah, blah, blah. And we're really sorry that that we have frustrated you and that we're not being able to meet your needs. Are you sure that I wouldn't be able to walk you through the process, you know, one-on-one? I would love to help to serve you in that way. And if not, if that doesn't work for you, I'd be happy to point you in a different direction. And yes, we'd be glad to give you a refund. Her service was awesome, right? So then, you know, she's being nice to me. So I'm like, okay, frick. You know, so then I try again. I'm like, forget it. It's just driving me crazy. Right? Okay, it's not a good thing to frustrate your customer. It's not a good thing. Your engagement process cannot be frustrating. If your engagement process is overwhelming and frustrating, you will lose the person. So again, this is back to Saturday with retaining business. Right? How do you retain more business? Look at your process. If it's difficult, and that's something that we're doing right now, we've been doing it all year actually, refining our processes to make them more simple and easier to engage in. Like our cart, I can't tell you how much we've spent on carts through the years that make all these promises, and $1 million later they don't do anything besides frustrate people. We got it now. I think we're on the, yeah, Derek has been incredible to work with. So amazing to work with. So the processes that we're cleaning up because of frustration that we cause our clients, and I would encourage you to do the same thing. Like, whatever is not simple, whatever is, in other words, don't overwhelm them all at once with your process. So even if you just kind of drip one little step at a time, that's easier for people to engage in. And so anyway, so she's like so nice to me. Her communication was so personable and it was so wonderful. So I at least think about it. And then I'm like, no, forget it. It's too frustrating. It's not what I'm looking for. So then I email her back and I say, you know what? I really appreciate how you communicated with me. This is very unusual to have this kind of customer service. I commend you for that. And I really, at the end of the day, I use my mobile phone. I am so tech-tard. It's ridiculous. And I apologize for that. If I had any idea it was all digital in the beginning, this tech-tard would have never clicked add to carted. So yes, I would just prefer a refund. So she sends me an email back. Stella, Your refund has been processed. And by the way, I did some research and I found someone else who has all physical product that will fit your needs. He comes from the same stream. He learned from the same guy that so-and-so learned from. So here's a link to his book. You can get it out on Amazon.com. And he has other things that are all physical products that should be able to help you. And I hope and pray that you achieve the thing, the goal that you set out to achieve. It's like, wow. 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 So look, I don't have a bad taste. First of all, because of her service and communication, I don't have a bad taste in my mouth on what I purchased from the guy who, you know, sold me all this stuff that I really want, and I couldn't get to the information I wanted. That was the bottom line, is I couldn't get to, what are your stupid 12 steps, right? You say, I'm going to tell you about these 12 steps. I'm going to tell you about this. Give me the 12 steps. Can I have? And it's a 12-minute workout. I want to know what that is. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I get that? Can I get that? Blah, 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 blah. Stop talking to me and just tell me what the 12-minute thing is, right? Frit, stop. Shut up. Where is it? Have you ever felt that way before, right? Okay. So what I want you to do is go through your processes and make sure you're not doing that to your customer. Because those that are frustrating the market are going to end up out of business. They are. Those who are frustrating the market are going to end up out of business. And here's how I know that. Because Amazon.com is conditioning the marketplace. They are. They're conditioning everybody right now for a simple service, excellent service, simple find, get it now, swipe, done. At my house in 2 days. So they're conditioning. That's what Amazon is doing to us. They don't complicate anything for us. And if we want a refund, it's click of a button, it's done. If we have a question, it's clicking a button, it's done. And if we want to talk to somebody, click of a button, it's done. And they have the best service and they have feedback loop. Their feedback after they've done any kind of service with you, they want to know, how did we do? How can we do better? So I feel like I'm being served by Amazon, and so is the marketplace. Okay, 50% of the households are on Amazon Prime. 50% of U.S. households are on Amazon Prime, which means how many more households are using Amazon without Prime? Right? So we're talking, they are conditioning the entire marketplace. Okay? And most people are so far behind. They're still, Walmart is a prime example. Walmart, you know, crying the blues about, we're not doing as good because you suck. Because your customer service sucks, because your process on your website sucks, because you're overloading and frustrating people. That's why Amazon is overloading you. That's why they're running all over the place, all on top of you. And that's why you might end up out of business. Because they're so far behind. They're like, oh, we better get a store online. No, it's not about your store being online. It's about what kind of service are you bringing that nobody else is bringing. Yes. Is it hard to find your items? Is the click-through process difficult? Is the process to access the information or access the product difficult? If any of that stuff is difficult, people are being conditioned to what's easy. And the easier your processes are, the faster you make money, the bigger your client base will be built, the more viral it will become. Cool. You're welcome. Good. You guys are funny. All right, so customer service, positioning, closing. I'm going to take some questions. We'll do it that way. Yeah, about what we're talking about, though, okay? This is the Entrepreneur's Workshop, so we're going to talk about that. Any questions on anything of what I just talked about? Yes. Awesome. I love answering questions from you. You know why I like answering questions from you? Because you freaking do it.
Thank you.
You do. I'm so freaking proud of you, Carlos, the businessman you have turned into, the leader, the father. I freaking love working with you. Okay,
so you are our target market.
I am?
You are, yes.
Okay.
You're a woman, you're the 40-year-old that we're looking for. The decision maker for things in the home, because mm-hmm. we do services.
Right.
So I'm Elizabeth. I just I didn't do to your standards.
Right.
How do I get you back?
That's great. That's a really good question.
Because we literally have standards and we do well at getting into the client's home, but now we're scaling and our guys don't do so well. at times. And now as a CEO, I'm like, oh, crap. We're training, but we know they have to make mistakes and then learn and
totally.
Make it right.
Okay.
But
so
I need you back.
Yes.
You're a great client.
Yes.
And I've lost great clients. I'm like, how do I get them back?
Yes.
What can I say to you? What can I do to you to help you to want to come back?
Such a great question. Such a great question. Okay. So stay right there because I'm actually going to give you the opportunity to get me back.
Okay.
So then I'll coach you from there. Okay, so what's your process? What are you doing? And by the way, let's pause right here. Anytime you're in you're in growth mode, you have to understand that things are not going to be perfect, and there's a good chance that they're not going to be really good. Okay, that's how it is. And whenever you're in growth, growth creates growing pains. Okay, and the growing pains are that you lose a few, right? And the reason is because you're in the process of hiring new people that are untrained. The second thing is that you're also in the process of the scaling process is where you find where the holes are. That's where you find where your processes are not correct or they're not simple for people to easily follow. The other thing is that it's only through the growth process that you find out where your weak places are. Okay, so growth comes with weaknesses on purpose. And what that does is it helps you to fine-tune your business. It helps you to fine-tune your model. And so it's important. And here's another thing. So on that note, that when you're communicating with your team or you're communicating with your sales force or even the family, this is where communication, again, is so hugely important. Is that you communicate to them that that's the expectation. So I could bring up any one of my staff and they can tell you how many times I've had these conversations with them of guys, we're in the process of growing. So while we're growing, there's going to be a lot of mistakes. When we're growing, there's going to be a lot of ball drops.
Yeah.
When we're doing something new, we're going to see where the weaknesses are. Don't be afraid of the weaknesses. This is why it's important to give feedback and to communicate. Okay? Even when, let's say that someone decided to move into a different role, a different department, the communication even with them is, listen, this is a transition, and in a transition, we expect ball drops. We expect processes that they're going to fall. Things are going to drop. Things are going to get a little unsettling before we find what the right path is. So don't be afraid of the mistakes. Don't be afraid of the drop perhaps in some places, but the growth in others. It's part of the process. Okay? Expect that going into it. Do not expect your same perfect production when we're trying something new or when we are in a growth phase because it's not going to be the same. Okay, so that's really important to immunize, if you will, your team and your family. Like when we all moved to Texas, I sat down with my kids multiple times and we had feedback loops. We debriefed over and over again. Okay, how are you feeling? You know, what's moving inside of your heart? What things do you feel we could be doing better? What would you like to see more of? Do you understand? Okay, and this is normal. You're feeling like you're missing some people. Do you understand? Or even also when there's been certain people inside of our company that needed to move on, right? Or that just needed to move on. That I prayed out of our organization or that I had to fire or not renew a contract or whatever, right? And so I prepared the team in advance, especially when I had a high-level person that I was needing to let go, and it was time. And again, nobody else in the organization knows what's going on behind those closed doors and knows what the failures are inside of this particular relationship. And I don't want to tell them that either. It's none of their business. I don't want to defame the person. But I met with every single one of my staff and just said, I want you to know that we're coming to a time that sometimes there are certain things that have to shift and have to be moved. And there's certain seasons where some people have to go. And we're coming into that season right now. So I want to prepare you in advance. This individual is an awesome person. Edify that person. And so these are some of the changes. So you might be feeling a little uncomfortable. What I want you to know, we're on good terms. We both have come to the place of agreement that this is not working. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the organization, wrong with either one of the individuals. It's just time to move on.
Yeah.
So I want you to position your heart right. I want you to have the freedom to talk to me about how you feel about it. If you hear anybody making some assumptions as to what's going on, nip it in the bud. I told you already what is going on, and let's just keep charging on and moving forward for our vision and our mission, right? So it's really important to have that kind of communication with people. All right, and again, if you're on a growth phase, that people know up front, things are going to break, things are going to screw up, frustration is on its way. So you decide how you're going to manage that frustration, okay? All right, so stand up. And so I'm your customer. So talking to your guys, for example, about how they, you know, they're new, and it's important to have grace with new people, really super important, and really super important to talk a lot to them.
First of all, do I have your email, your cell phone number?
You tell me what you have.
Well, no, I'm asking
I don't know what you,
you
have.
No, I'm saying as
if I was your former customer, what do you have of me?
Typically, I have their cell phone number.
Okay.
Or their phone number
cool.
And their email. We awesome. Try to have all of them.
So I want you to tell me what you're already doing or what you're going to do, and I will just fine-tune
well,
it.
Well, can I ask you real quick? Would you be willing to give your cell phone typically? You really, in real life? Because you two truly are a target market, I promise. The quality of client that you are. And
so you're asking me if my electrician has my personal cell phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, he does.
Okay, good. Good.
Does my contractor have my cell phone? Yes, he does.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. So So what we would do is once we discovered that something went wrong, that it wasn't the best experience for you.
Right.
There's two ways we either handle it. Sometimes I'll have someone from our office, so it adds a little more credibility, contact you and edify me. That the CEO and founder would love to meet with you and discuss the situation with your project or with what went wrong and with your experience. Would you be willing to meet with them in person? He would like to take time out of his busy schedule to come meet with you because you're very important to
us. I'm super busy. I really don't need that. No thanks.
Okay. Then I would probably I would do my best to text you personally.
Probably get me.
And then apologize for your experience and ask.
So do it.
Okay. All right. So I would text you and just say, would you be willing to help us become more efficient and excellent in our process? No? Okay.
I'm heading to Nicaragua.
Well, first of all, I guess I would apologize.
I got a seminar on the 19th. I have a family reunion on the 12th. I have a wedding on the 25th.
Do you have time
and then
for
I'm off to Portland,
a
Oregon, and then
phone
Hawaii.
Call?
Don't ask me.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me.
So, a lot of times our experience is when we call, they don't answer. So I just.
So if you're going to send
text.
Me a text, okay. What are you going to say?
I'm going to apologize.
What I'm saying is, quit beating around the frickin' bush.
Right. Yeah.
And get to the darn point. If I'm your target market,
okay.
I ain't got time for that.
Right. Right, right. True. Yeah.
Does anyone else have time for that?
No.
It's not honoring.
And that's true about our clients, too, for sure. They don't have time. So it's just...
What would your text message say?
Apologizing for what we did wrong.
What would your text message say?
Hi, this is Carlos. I'm CEO and one of the founders.
So what?
And I want to take time to apologize for your bad experience.
Quit telling me what you're going to do and just do it.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Okay.
I would like to take the time to apologize to you. Just freaking apologize.
Yeah. I'm sorry for your bad experience.
Thank you. Do you understand? Don't beat around the bush. Like, in other words, you're creating more processes than what is necessary.
Okay.
Okay. So just like get to it.
Okay.
Right.
So
rather than having somebody
out,
else call to edify, no need to do that.
So, yeah, okay.
So as soon as you find out that there was a bad experience...
Immediately, within 24 hours, text you and say,
I really
want to apologize. I just found out. It
just
came
to my
attention.
You were mistreated by someone on my staff, and this makes me sick to my stomach. I am so very sorry. I value you so much, and I cannot believe this has happened to you. I want you to know that I am taking all measures that are necessary to make sure that never happens to you again. We are going to make this good to you, and I don't know what you can do, whether it's not charge them for something,
right.
You know what I mean? Give them, I would like to not be charged
for
something
definitely.
That I got that isn't right,
right?
Not only not be charged, but do it again for no cost, if that is all possible, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what I would be saying.
Absolutely. We're, and we feel that way. We'd be willing to lose money to keep you as a client.
You absolutely
no
should
charge,
lose money.
Come
you
back
should
and
lose
take
money,
care of it.
You should lose money, and you should take care of it, and you will have me raving about you.
Okay.
You will have me raving about you.
So, I'm Elizabeth. I just texted you that. You would. What would your next step be? Yes, meet with me, come back, send your guy back, or how would you do it?
My response would be, well, probably my response would be, wow, that's amazing. So if at the end of that text message, it would be, first of all, try to call them first and just say, Danny, I just tried calling you. It was me that tried calling you. I just found out that you were thoroughly mistreated by someone on my staff, and this makes me sick to my stomach. I am so sorry. I value you so much. You have been such a faithful client, and I cannot believe this has happened. And we're going to do everything in our power to make this right for you. Number one, we're not going to charge you. Is there any way I can talk to you so that I can make this right with you?
Okay.
And right there, you know, they say, yes, call me now or whatever.
Okay.
All right?
And then call you?
And then call me and then just say, what happened?
Okay.
What happened? And then, yes, what happened? And
how
say, don't
do
hold
a better job?
Don't hold anything back. Okay. Tell him that. Don't hold anything back. You tell me exactly what has happened.
Can I please role play with you then? And really go through this experience because it matters how you answer. Like, okay, what happened in this situation?
Let me tell you this. What matters? Sorry, my shirt is there. We go. What matters is what your clients are going to say, because each client's going to say something different. So even role-playing with me is not necessarily going to help you. So just me giving you that text message and, again, watching your process, Carlos, my hunch is that you guys probably have a few processes that are just too many steps, right? And too many steps create mistakes. Okay, so, and if you're running around the block a little bit to try to get to something, there's a good chance your people are running around the block to get to something also. So I would be going home to streamline communication and processes. Okay, now, I understand the whole edification thing. I get that. But if it's a long way around to get something done, there's no need for it, especially if a customer's been harmed. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If the customer's been wrong, you attack that fast. You jump on that fast. And so I think the text message that I gave you is a great start. And you communicate from your heart, right? That customer is 100% right. 100% right. Like, I am so sorry. This is terrible. I want to fix this right now. And I want to know, like, what could we have done better? Besides everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because this
happens.
Sucks and this is wrong and I hate it when it happens to me, right? So oftentimes people just try to give excuses or they try to defend themselves or they assume the customer's just trying to get something for nothing.
Yeah.
Don't make those assumptions. Don't make those assumptions.
How do we gain trust and confidence back with you?
You do with that text message already. You've already brought me on the bridge to trusting you. And then when you say, tell me what happened.
And should I send Elizabeth back? Or should I send someone new?
That, to be honest with you, that would be, I think some people, I think if you were to ask me that question.
So I would ask you that then. That's
I think
question.
I would be uncomfortable if Elizabeth came back.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be uncomfortable. I'd feel bad for her. Honestly, I would feel uncomfortable. So I would say somebody new.
Because
that's
we
me
had
personally.
We had this almost identical scenario. And we did send them back what we told the client that we really wanted them to learn and to get better.
Listen
and to
me.
Do it
Hold
right.
it.
Okay.
I don't give a rip what you want your employee to do.
Okay.
And I don't give a rip, meaning as a customer,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, not as your coach. As a customer, I could care less what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Just make it right with me.
Right.
Do you understand? So that you want to teach your person, that's not, I don't care about that. That doesn't matter to me. Just fix it. Makes sense.
Okay,
so
it would be better probably to send someone else.
It would be better to send
somebody
else.
I actually went with them to kind of help.
I wouldn't do that. Wouldn't
okay.
do that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I mean,
so
great
new.
That I would definitely send somebody new and or I would, you go yourself. I'm
yeah.
coming over. I'm going to
yeah,
fix
I've
this
done
myself.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally impressive. And
yeah.
that's great service.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yep. Those are great questions. That's awesome. That's really, really good. And here's another thing. I mean, you're kind of logging, you know, which guys are screwing up, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What's really important is you got to fire fast.
Yes, ma'am.
You got to fire fast. You really do. Either people are getting it or they're not. And yeah, big, deep breath. Yeah, you got to fire fast.
Yes.
Yeah. There's, it can really hurt your brand and hurt your business to, and not only that, but you're setting a precedence. You're teaching them they can take advantage of your grace. And that is not cool. It is absolutely not cool. There's great talent out there to bring on board. And also what this does is it helps you to hire better. Yeah. It really does. And it helps you to communicate better with who it is you're recruiting. So it's the same as I did when I made my first million in the network marketing industry. That's how I communicated to the people I was recruiting right off the bat. As soon as I started to work with people that were, you know, when I was begging people to work with me and I saw that they did freaking nothing besides whine and want you to do everything for them, I was like, hell no, we're done. So then it was about, all right, well, let me tell you who I'm looking for and what I'm looking for. And that was based on trial and error of I didn't want to put up with yahoos who were lazy, who were whiners, who were not committed, who had no intention of following directions. That was a personal pet peeve of mine. And by the way, you each have your own personal pet peeve. You understand? You have something that you know you work well in, and you have something that you know doesn't work well for you. So be upfront with that communication, right? Don't expect yourself to change for another person. If you haven't changed in 45 years, you're not going to for this one person. So what you're looking for is a mutually beneficial relationship based on who you are right now. Listen to me, Carlos, not who you're expecting them to become.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with who you're working with, is that there could be a couple of the guys you're working with that you're expecting them to become something. And Carlos, I know that you have become an incredible man. You've become a great leader. You've become a man who understands business so much different than you did 6 years ago when you came here. Do you understand? You become a man of character. There's a lot of transformation that has happened in your life. I'm serious. Your character really has been amazing to me to watch. And your love for people has been amazing to watch. You know, Erin Hudson wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Carlos. It's the facts. She wouldn't be here. They worked together for a minute. And Carlos had the right heart when this business relationship was no longer happening anymore. You still maintained honor the best that you possibly could. I saw you loving on her daughter yesterday. That just blows my mind. I've seen you celebrate that woman's success. I've seen you with tears in your eyes, seeing how her life has been completely transformed and how her family's come to Christ.
Yeah.
That's a man of high character versus jealousy or, right, or a twinge inside of your heart. You cared about her, her heart, her soul, her family's heart, and their soul. And you have not gotten your feelings all hurt and torn up. And I'm sure there was some, but I'm saying you moved past it. Let me put it this way. Good character isn't someone that doesn't get the feelings hurt. It's someone who can move through those hurt feelings and get to the other side. Do you understand? We will never be a people that don't get our feelings hurt. Do you understand me? We will never be a people that don't get our feelings hurt. It's what we do with our hurt feelings is what matters. Okay, that's what it's about. And there are people, there are some of my clients that have an expectation of me that I don't get my feelings hurt. Pull your head out of your butt. Can you hurt my feelings? Sure you can. Sure you can. Can I be disappointed? Yes, I can be disappointed. Absolutely I can. And so some people just think I'm, you know, tough as nails and I don't have any feelings and that, you know, that the choices that they make are not going to affect me. No, choices you make do affect me. And so then when they get a response out of me and my initial response was I was hurt about it, like, oh, I can't believe she was hurt. Like, if Jesus wept, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? That if he wept, he got his feelings hurt and he responded in anger, by the way. What do you call a table flip? He's in the temple cursing people and flipping tables and he's sinless. Sinless doesn't mean that you don't get angry. It says, be angry, but do not sin.
Yeah.
Right? So people have an expectation. Now, wait a second. You have the same expectation of your parents, your spouse, your kids, your siblings, your boss. We have these expectations. Well, I can't believe they got their feelings hurt. I can't believe they responded that way. Like, no, you should believe that that's how they responded. They were uncomfortable, or maybe that was an insecurity that they didn't even know that they had, that got exposed in that moment. Are they entitled to have an insecurity that is exposed that they get to work through? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So of course your feelings were hurt. Of course. And did you move past it?
Yes, ma'am.
Hell yeah, you did. For the greater good. For the greater good. So I'm so proud of you. I don't know why I went there, but I'm glad I did. We were talking about, yeah, no, he's amazing. I absolutely love him. He's been so committed to every part of this mission for six solid freaking years. I remember your very first steps. I had you on stage. I formed you.
You changed my name.
I changed your name. What'd I call you?
Carlos.
Wait.
I used to go by Chuck.
Oh, but your tag says Carlos Campos.
I introduced myself that way. And you never would call me Chuck. I kept correcting
you.
I'm like,
Chuck.
No, it's Chuck. And you're like,
you're
no,
not
Carlos.
Chuck. You're Carlos. Oh. You're Carlos. Carlos Campos, man.
Identity, baby.
Amen. It's right. I love that. It's a new name. I love that. You ain't no Chuck. Hell no. If you're Chuck, it's okay, but he's not Chuck. He's Carlos.
That's Bucky's or Chucky's.
No, Chuck is fine for someone else, but you're Carlos. That's so funny. I didn't realize that. That's hilarious.
Prophetic.
That is so prophetic. Good. I totally agree. So anyway, shoots and ladders. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, your character is awesome, and people will try to take advantage of that. And the place, so when you have a heart like you do, and you're tender-hearted, and yet you're a strong warrior at the same time. And so that tender-hearted part as a CEO and a businessman needs to be, I have to do what's best for the people and the business. I have to keep in mind the best for the customer. And so when you encounter someone that has these kind of habits of not being excellent, not giving the customer the right kind of service they're supposed to, you got to cut them quick. You know, it's right when they do it once. Come on, it loses you money.
Yeah.
Right? So then when you go to hire, you're looking for someone at a higher standard. And you're looking for somebody that, and you're going to communicate that when you go through these interviewing processes that, hey, listen, I'm looking for someone that is actually going to do what they're saying they're going to do right here in this interview. So if I find out within 90 days that you do not have the capacity to be able to do what you're telling me you will do, this is going to be a short relationship and with no hard feelings, because it means that you need to go and find something that is better fit for you, and we have to make room for the person that is the best fit for us. You establish that from moment one. From moment one, there's no screwing around, okay? And that within 90 days, we just hired a sales manager. Same thing as a conversation I had with him. It's like, love everything you're saying. I'll give you 90 days. Within 90 days, we will know whether or not you can do it. And by the way, for those of you that have home-based businesses, you use that same exact terminology when you're recruiting somebody. We will know within 90 days whether or not you're going to make the cut on this team. We'll know within 90 days whether or not you have what it takes and whether or not you're really the fit that I'm looking for. And after that first 90 days, we'll know in the next 90 days whether or not you have the character to proceed past the feelings of wanting to give up. And that next 90 days after that, we will know whether or not you still have the capacity to stay teachable.
Wow, so good.
And those next 90 days after you've had a little bit of success, we will know whether or not you've got what it takes to go the distance with us.
So good.
It doesn't matter what business you're in. You use that every 90-day checkpoint, and we'll see where you're at. 5 years from now, I'll see if you're still around. Most people won't be. Do you know how many thousands and thousands of people have come through these doors in the last 6 years? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have walked through these doors in the last 6 years. Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of people have been feeding off of the website for the last 6 years? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Millions and millions have heard about the website, have heard the story. Carlos is here. Carlos is here. Right? So anytime I ever sponsored anybody into a business or I got a customer for a product, literally, that's what I say. Why? I'm not looking for a short-term wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, one-night stand.
Amen.
I am looking for a long-term, mutually beneficial relationship. And Carlos, you're looking for the same thing with your guys. Look, I'm looking to develop somebody that maybe one day they might be the head of one of the divisions of this company. So I don't know if that's going to be you or not, but in 90 days from now, we'll know whether or not you make the first cut.
That's good.
That's how it rolls.
So good.
Cool.
Yes,
I think we're done.
Thank you.
Love you. Proud of you. Appreciate you, your whole family. Proud of you. That last segment was worth the MP3 alone. Absolutely. Okay, another question? You can come up because I'm going to have another question. Yes, you. Okay, what you got, baby?
Thank you. And thank you for today. It's been incredible. Just mind-blowing so far.
Yay.
From start to now.
I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Good. Jeff was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Exactly what I needed.
That's so awesome.
Yes.
Yay.
And you have been exactly what I needed today, too. So thank you. Okay. Creating authentic video content without recreating the wheel. Okay, so that's my challenge. So you gave that brilliant story about Erica closing you,
yeah.
Which I loved. And that is my desire to do that, but I'm in front of a camera. I'm not in front of a person or on a phone.
Okay.
So what, and I'm always confused, like, what gym do I speak? Like, and I've done a lot of research on, like, which videos get the highest views and so forth, but some of them, I don't know, Sapphire content seems to be really big,
Sapphire,
but I'm like,
is big.
I don't know that I want to, I mean,
it's Sapphire and how to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Sapphire, it's
tutorials.
Sapphire, wild, stupid, funny stuff, and how to do things.
Yeah. So what gem do I speak? How do I be authentic? I want it to be about them, not me.
Hold on. So who is your ideal customer will help you figure out which gem you're going to speak.
To create my avatar and even give it a gem?
Uh-huh. Of course. If you're creating an avatar, wouldn't they have a gem if it's a person?
Yeah.
True. Right?
True.
Right?
Yeah. True.
So are you looking for the decision maker? Who are you looking for? Describe who you're looking for. Describe who your ideal customer is.
Okay, probably someone my age. With my interest, because what I'm talking about is what I know about. So hopefully they would at least not know about it, but at least be interested.
What you're telling me is you have not figured out your ideal customer yet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No.
She says, I have to get more specific, right? Uh-huh. Yes. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, this is why you got to figure out who that is. Who's your ideal customer? When you figure out who your ideal customer is, then you know exactly what to say to that person. And when you're on video, you're talking to one person. Yeah, yeah, you're just talking to one person. And you can't be all things to all people. And each video can be different, and you can also test, right? What if you have, again, figure out who your ideal customer is, okay? Is it somebody who can't make a decision? Answer the question. Is your ideal customer someone that can't make a decision? Well, that kind of leaves the pearls out, doesn't it? Right? You're not looking for somebody that is afraid to make a decision. You're looking for somebody who is motivated and decisive. So that kind of narrows it down.
I can speak that language.
I know you can. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're looking for a specific profile, and that's why I'm telling you. Pretend like you're forming somebody. Or who is probably your best customer now? That's an easy way to figure out who your ideal customer is sometimes. Figuring out who is your best customer right now. And another question is, who is your core customer? Who is your core customer? Because your core customer might not be your best customer. Right? Yep, your core customer. So let's say that's the majority of who you have. Right? So there's some people in the room that we looked to be our best customer and our core customer. Aaron Hudson, you're one of them. You were one of our profiles. Yeah. You know why? It's so funny, you're a chiropractor and you always come to all 3 days. But I have home business entrepreneurs who refuse to come to the third day. And this day was designed for them. This day was created for them, and you and Andrus, okay, because Andrus was another, you know, one of our best, that this day doesn't apply to them, meaning that the best customer for us is someone who takes advantage of everything that we offer. Okay, that's our best customer. It's not only that this is such a good conversation that we're having right now. Here's why. So when you're identifying who the person is you're looking for, right? So I'm looking for someone that's teachable, that's hungry, that is decisive, that's going to take advantage of, they're so hungry and so teachable. It's like, just give me whatever you got. Just give me whatever you got. But it's not only give me what you got, it's what they do with it. Okay? Because there's a lot of people who say, give me what you got, but they don't do anything with it, right? So then that best core customer for us is someone who participates and engages in our community fully. That just goes all in on that whole community. And so Aaron and Andrus and a few others have been just, you know, obviously Jackie, it always goes without saying, this man right here that has participated in most everything it is that we have. But for example, I'll say Aaron, because we sat around the table with my leaders and just said, who would you pick to be? And someone named one that was from a home-based business. And I said, let me tell you why she's not. Number one, she doesn't come on a Monday. She refuses to take advantage of Smarter Networker, which is completely designed for her business model. So she refuses. Yes, she takes advantage of all these other things, but she's unengaged in the community that actually will help to build her business to a whole nother level. But when I have somebody who's a chiropractor who comes to the Mondays, that when the Mondays started 6 years ago or 5 years ago, however long it was just for home-based business owners. That's all it was for. But then we started having people like her and real estate agents, Tammy, the contractors, all the other kinds that were coming, you know, Andrus Lenka from Latvia, who owns a language school, right, who would say, oh my gosh, the Mondays totally helped me build my business. So when we started to watch that migration happen of traditional business owners coming in through here, doctors and so on, that it was like, oh, this is interesting. So therefore, now it's an entrepreneur's workshop, period. We're going to talk about every kind of business here on this Monday. So, okay, so Aaron, I'll tell you why you're one of our profiles. She's taking care of the poor. She's gone with us to places like Nicaragua. She brings her children along with her. She engages with the community and even competitors. So meaning that not only has she come here, not only has she brought her staff here, not only has she brought friends here, not only has she brought family members here, not only has she talked to people in grocery stores and told them about this, not only does she house clients, that when we're in LA, she has made friends inside of this community, like the one sitting right next to her, which you would sit there and go, beautiful African-American woman, beautiful white woman, that would never work in any other scenario. So these two have traveled together. They have gone hiking together. They have vacationed together. So why is this an ideal customer? Because she has reached out to other people inside of this community, has made friends with them. She has blended her family with their families with them. She has gone on the mission field with us. She has gone to Belize and brought her family to Belize. She has given. She has made. She's built houses for the poor. She has fed the orphan. She's involved with whatever it is that we are doing. She's all in. Yes. So this is where this one is like ideal customer, has been doing it year after year after year after year. So there's some people who come, they just take for themselves. They never pass it on to someone else. They don't reach out into anybody else's life. They want to be the expert. They want to be the person that's in front of everybody. And so they'll take my information and they'll go teach that information, acting like they created it all by themselves, right? And they will keep their organization away from this community, which is only hurting them. Right. It only hurts them. So that's what I'm saying. Ideal customer. So who am I? Who would be part of our target is, we're looking for this right here. Super hungry, super teachable, in need, marriage is a mess, family is a mess, the finances are a mess, and they don't even know it. All they know is that something has to change. And that's who she was, right? And so, and that this kind of a person is spreading the news wherever it is that she goes and engaging with people and going the whole distance with us. So who is your ideal customer? What are you looking for? So she's one of the profile that we're talking about. So thank you so very much for everything that you have done No, seriously, you have to understand, it's people like you, it's people like you, it's people like the several that are in here that you guys engage with the whole community. You help the people succeed. I'm not there. I'm not with you. You're not coming to my house. Do you understand? So I'm not engaging with you in the level that you all engage with each other. So those things help to build. Linda and Jan, you guys too. I mean, I can't wait for you guys to be in the United States. Like, I can't imagine how that is going to impact your guys' life. But just even what you and your husband have done inside of this community, what you've spoken into people's lives, right? Taryn, you too, you're brand new. You blew my mind. You like went from who the heck is she to hello, bam, in all of our face, fully engaged in all things and having her children fully engaged in all things. Woman makes a ton of money. She walks on stages with thousands of people all over the place, and she comes and sits in here and be's a humble person, just like everybody else that's sitting right by her, not tooting her horn about how successful she is or what her check was last month. Right? And that's difficult when people get to high level of success and they're stepping on big stages and they've got microphones in their mouths and they're all this, that, and the other thing. It's very difficult for them to come and be a participant in somebody else's event.
Yes.
That's amazing. $600,000 net worth sitting right there, right next to my family right here. Awesome. Just sitting there. That's my family right there, by the way. She's a wonderful person. She's an incredible woman. Her and I have been in dirty, dirty places together. Nicaragua. Nicaragua. She was in Nicaragua with me in January. She's an incredible woman. Anyway, so figure out what your ideal customer is. That's why you have to do that, lady. You got to figure out who it is, and that's who you're going to talk specifically to. So one thing you can do is you can test, right? So again, if you want to speak to all four gems, you can have four different videos that speak into each one of those, and you can see the result and see how they respond, right? There's nothing wrong with split testing those things. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, but if you find, okay, am I looking for a pearl? Am I looking for a sapphire? Who am I looking for? Okay, it doesn't mean just go look for rubies, because that comes with all kinds of challenges. And I mean all kinds of challenges. And you have to know what those challenges are up front. You know what I mean? And be able to, see, that's why if you know who specifically you're looking for, then you would have processes in place, and you know exactly what to say and not to say in your messaging when you're talking to those people, right? Because if it's all digital, you have a way to split test all of these things, and you can have processes set up to manage the big egos that you're going to be dealing with. Not saying that all rubies have big egos. Please don't. Well, go ahead and get your ass offended. If after these 2 days you're still getting offended, well, you know, so be it. It is what it is. I cannot walk on eggshells in front of 1,000 people for 3 days. I'm so freaking sorry. Sucks. That's how political correctness was created. It puts a leader, puts a freaking gag order on their mouth, and they can't be who they are, and they're not true to themselves. They're not true to themselves. They're not true to you. So anyway, sorry, I'm not going to walk on eggshells. Sorry. Anyway. So if you're going to deal with high level, you know, I have clients that deal with nothing but high level. They only deal with people who are multimillionaires. That's all the only people they deal with. And boy, oh boy, they have processes in place and scripting in place to not screw that up, to not like provoke wars every single time they have a conversation with somebody. So there's a certain level of expertise that person is expecting. Do you understand? There's a certain level of treatment that they're expecting, and there's a certain language that the staff should not use when they're talking to that Ruby. Right? Yeah.
Hi.
How are you? I'm Danny.
I'm good. I'm Rebecca.
You're gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
So are you. Okay, so home-based business owner. Most of my engagement and reach right now is through social media.
Awesome.
Closing. My question's about closing.
Okay. I'm so glad.
Me too, because I'm really looking forward to the answer. And I also don't currently like to close, or I don't... It's
why?
Not natural for me yet.
Tell me why you don't like closing.
This is where I sat with the sapphires yesterday.
No, you're going to tell me why.
Okay.
You don't like closing.
Okay. I don't like closing because it makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
Because it scares me.
Why?
Because I fear what people think.
Why?
Why? came up here to ask about closing.
You are asking about closing. You are. This is so rad. Why are you afraid of what people will think?
Because I want to be liked, and I don't want to be rejected, and I don't want to be abandoned. And I also don't want to go back to my own vomit, because I was there on Saturday night, and it was amazing.
Whoa. Cool. So, ego versus... the goal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So ego versus bank account. So what are you marketing? Don't give me the name of the product.
Sure,
just tell me what
sure,
it
sure.
is. The microphone works best in your mouth.
Wellness product.
Oh. So you're simply telling me, if I'm hearing you right, you're simply telling me that your fear of rejection that comes from something that happened when you were really little, that is not real today, mm-hmm. that you much rather live in that place and keep people sick, dying of cancer, heart attack, stroke, disease, stress, pressure, you rather live in the place of the four-year-old who was rejected and abandoned, who perceived that she was not liked, which was not true. You're telling me you'd rather stay there than help mothers live a longer, healthier life and be able to not have the kind of stress and pressure that they're having so that they could be better moms.
I don't want to be there anymore. I can say that.
So, closing. Has everything to do with what you're focused on. So if you focus on being rejected.
Sewing.
What was that?
And if that's what I'm sowing,
then you will reap it. So if you're focused on living in the little four-year-old perception that I'm unlovable, you're going to get what you focus on. But what could you focus on?
I could focus on being able to help them.
Who?
The individual that I'm serving, trying to love.
Who is
she?
She
may or may not be married, but she's somebody who's stressed out, doesn't like toxins or wants to reduce toxins and chemicals in her home. She's what? Well, I'm not married,
exactly.
And I want to reduce chemicals in my home.
It's a female.
Yes.
It's a female.
She may or may not be struggling with her health, such as a chronic illness. She is at least interested in learning about alternatives.
Why?
Because she desires change, even if she doesn't understand yet what that change is.
Why?
Because she's tired and wants life to be different. She's tired of the life that she has.
Why?
Because of the results that the life that she has is or is not getting her. And I think recognizing results in others, in their lives, and wanting those and starting or already believing that those are possible for her.
Do you think you can help her?
Yeah. I know I can.
I don't see a problem with closing. That's a direct match. Can you focus on helping her?
Yes. And I'm going to choose to.
Amen. Done. I have time for one more question. One more question? Come on. Okay, what just happened? Yourself has got to be out of the closing equation. You are not the issue. You are not the issue. Yourself has got to be out of the closing equation. Get out of your own way. Go back to why you're doing what you're doing. Why are you in what you're in? Why did you start in it to begin with? And last, who is your target customer? And focus on helping them. When I was homeless and I started that business, my whole focus was creating 40 brand new weight loss testimonials with before and after pictures. That was my entire focus. My focus was not locating my soon-to-be dead ex-husband. My focus was not trying to get a confession out of him. My focus was not trying to prove to everybody that I was a victim and I needed help. My focus was not to no longer even be homeless, actually. My focus was 40 weight loss testimonials. That was my focus. So every person I talk to, every time I read that script that's on the last script that's in the script book is the exact script that I wrote from the payphone booth on Post-it notes. It's the exact same script. So when I read that script, my whole focus was, I am looking for somebody that is not only going to use this stuff, but they're going to do it diligently for as long as it takes. They're going to take a before picture, and they're going to take an after picture. And they're going to submit that before and after picture to me. And I'm going to use that before and after picture to prove that this stuff works to anybody else that I come in contact with. So therefore, my goal and the prospect's goal was exactly the same. There was no disconnect. My goal and their goal was the same. What was their goal? Why are they calling an ad about weight loss? To lose weight. That's why they were calling. And if my goal was to make my MasterCard payment or make enough money to get into an apartment, or if my goal was to not have anyone find out that I was homeless, if my goal was not to get rejected, if my goal was to not get my feelings hurt, what would the result have been? Is the goal the same as the customer's? No. What's the goal of the customer? To lose weight. If my goal is to collect 40 before and after pictures, do we have the same goal? Perfect match. That's closing. That's closing. So 99% of all closing is posture. That's it. When you're on that phone, you're either squirming because you're afraid of getting rejected because you are in the way and your ego is enormous, or you are on that phone or face-to-face with the same exact goal that that person has. And all you're going to do is ask questions that lead them to that conclusion. The conclusion of what they want, not what you want. So all you're simply helping them to do is decide to do what they want. So in the case with that young lady, if you were to ask Rebecca, after you present whatever it is that you are presenting, and this is where it's so important to come out of an amateur form of selling and become a professional. The amateur sells what they like about the product, the service, or the idea. The professional discovers what the other person wants and likes. And through that discovery process, which is form, Through that discovery process, then you present that to them. Here's how to get it. It's that simple. Here's how to get it. So if Rebecca presents her oils, which is what I'm assuming, is that what it is? Rebecca, where are you? Yes, okay. So Rebecca, yes. If Rebecca is presenting oils, okay, of which I've been using for 8 years, amazing. Essential oils are awesome. They're awesome. They'll be in my house probably for as long as I live. Can't live without lavender or thieves. It's amazing stuff. It really is. It's amazing stuff. What was I saying? So if she presents the opportunity to have a toxic-free home and have alternative use for health and wellness and longevity and youthful-looking stuff and sleeping and the list goes on, pain relief, all of that stuff, right? So she's presenting her options here. Then if she simply asks the questions, what did you like about what you just saw? Now the prospect says what she likes. Tell me more about that. The prospect regurgitates the answer. So perhaps the close on the product, if she's trying to market the product instead of a, if she's trying to market a business, do you want to make a literal lot with repeat what she liked about what she said? That's obvious. I'd like to make a lot with being able to help my house become toxic free and helping everyone I know's house become toxic free. Great. Where do you see yourself getting started? Do you want to start at the bottom? Working slowly, helping homes become toxic free and finding alternatives to better health? Or would you rather start at the top where you can make 2 to 3 times more money for the same work and effort? What is the obvious freaking answer? If you're not closing that deal, it's simply because you are in the way. Now, please don't ask me the tarred question of how do I get myself out of my own way? Don't ask that tarred question, because that means you're still in your own way. Did you hear what I just said? If you have the question of how do I get myself out of my own way, it's because you're still looking in the wrong direction. You're still looking at yourself. How do you get yourself out of the way? Put your focus somewhere else. Put the focus as the goal of what the prospect's goal is instead of you, focusing on you. Quit being a pride-filled, egotistical, arrogant, selfish thinker. And make the focus the person. Awesome. How are you, gorgeous?
Thank you.
I'm Danny.
I'm Yemisi.
Wow, that's a great name.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're simply stunning.
Oh, thank you. You are too.
I received that.
I love
your
shoes.
I do too. Thank you.
They're so cute. So, my husband and I, we opened a traditional business about 1.5 years ago.
Okay.
Things are good. Now, my question is kind of opposite Carlos. Okay. So what happens when you have served your client, they're happy,
yep,
and then they leave? And I've also... I've,
such a good question. Let's repeat the question. What happens when our customers are totally happy and they leave?
Well, the part two was I've always heard that it's better to retain your current customers
totally
than to try to get a new.
You're totally 100% right. So what I'm telling you is maybe they're not as happy as you think.
But the reviews say they're happy.
Excuse me. Who's your ideal customer?
You.
Really?
Yes.
So that means that I would be referring you.
Oh, yeah. And they do.
Then why do they leave?
The service has ended without me going. I don't want to go into it.
But what is the service?
So it's a mass learning center. So they can sign up for 6 months or 12 months. And once that contract is over...
They're done.
They're done. Or they can stay on if the child still needs what they need. But usually the kids are where they need to be, so...
What's the problem?
So what's my problem or their problem?
Your problem. There's not a problem here. You do not have a reoccurring business. You're doing great.
So
watch. So if the service is 6 months and they're taking advantage of it and they're giving you 5-star reviews,
uh-huh,
and they're giving you referrals,
uh-huh, But then where does this idea of you want to keep the, you want to retain that customer as opposed to now?
How do you retain the customer if your service is no longer needed?
That's true. That's true. Because I do have some that contract is over, but they just want to continue because they want their kids to maybe go to the next level.
Okay. So then you're telling me that there is an opportunity for the kid to go to the next level.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah.
So then you're telling me that they're not totally happy. Or you have not yet presented the opportunity nor the option for them to have their kid continue.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you, in other words, you're stopping them from using you anymore simply because you are not giving them the opportunity to continue. So, yeah, that's your top package. Okay. So on that note, here's another point of that service is that how will you give them that opportunity? It's really simple. Just tell stories of the ones who have continued with you. And by the way, who really is your customer?
The parent.
The parent is the customer. Okay, so why would a parent stay with you? And they're homeschooling or non-homeschooling?
Both.
Both, okay. Uh-huh. So why would we stay with you?
Because we...
I mean, obviously when my son graduates from college and doesn't have to do math anymore, then I don't need you anymore,
uh-huh.
Right? So there, in other words... You don't have to write this down, but you need to understand what your lifetime value of your customer is. Okay. So what you haven't yet established is what your lifetime customer is, first of all. What's the end of the deal? Okay, so like if Aaron, so for example, it's been 4.5 years?
5 years.
5 years this month. Congratulations. Thank you so much for everything you've done. Thank you. So, Aaron, you know, 5 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a really long time to remain a customer inside of any opportunity. Any opportunity. 5 years is a really, really long time. You know, Patrick Clunan, 10 years that he's been coming. Jackie, going on 12 years here in 2 months. It'll be 12 solid years. Now, do you know how many tens of thousands have come through the doors in 12 years? Tons, but he's the only one still here from that event. He's the only one. There were 354 people at that event. In Universal City, California, right by Universal Studios. So, with the orange and red carpet. Anyway, so, and Roman was there with his Walmart jeans. It was Roman's first event. Anyway, so Roman, I mean, Jackie, there were 354 people in that event, but Jackie has been in every event since that event with thousands and thousands and thousands of people in 12 years. There's still only one left. This is not the core customer. Right? This isn't the core customer. The core customer might never come to an event, in fact. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a prime example. My niece last night is telling me, this is so crazy. My niece last night is telling me she's a pharmacy tech. And she's telling me that she has a coworker who's been following us for years.
Wow.
Okay, she just found out about me a year ago. Her mom just told her about me a year ago. Meaning that her mom had another sister. Okay, not me in general, Danny Johnson, but me as in, oh, you have an aunt. You have another aunt. And here's a picture of her and I. Okay, so she's been having her coworker's been following us and participating with products and audios and books for years. And she went to her and says, have you ever heard of Danny John? She's like, girlfriend, where you been? Of course, man. I've been listening to her phone for years. Same with Tommy. His sister, who he's not yet met, right? Okay, was it her aunt? Her mother. Her. She has also been following us for years. There's people I have never met. They are customers of what we do. They've not been to an event yet, right? Neither one of them have been to a first step to success yet.
They don't know what they're missing.
Of course they don't know what they're missing. I'm sure they'll go back and tell them. Now they're like, oh my gosh, you gotta go to San Antonio. Okay, 12 years you've been listening. Okay, had you purchased anything? Yes, so you purchased all kinds of stuff. So you purchase books, you purchase audios, purchase all kinds of stuff. This is your first event?
No, LA was.
LA was your first event. So it took her 12 years to get here. And there was, hold on, that was February 18th and 19th in Phoenix, Arizona, in a hotel that was under construction.
I think I brought all six kids.
Yeah, I was wearing taupe pants, a black sweater, and a white shirt. I just started coloring my hair. I had a little bit of highlights, similar colors now, but I had some extra little blonde highlights. It's really sweet of you. Yep, black flats, pointed shoes. Mm-hmm. There was 110 people in the room.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, that's so cool that 12 years ago you came to that disgusting hotel. Can't believe you even found the room. It was terrible. Yeah, there was 110 people in that room. That's a trip. Yeah, that was February 2005. Yep. Jefferson Santos was in that room. Wow. Awesome. Her son is next to her. He was there too. He's a man. That is a man sitting next to her. A lot has happened in 12 years. Anyway, my point is, okay, my point is that your core customer isn't necessarily your best customer. Do you understand? Again, 12 years, she's been participating. She's been a customer for 12 years, but she hasn't come all the way. Remember I showed the funnel Saturday? I showed the funnel. Okay, so she was in the top of the funnel for a really long time, right? Not the very top, but, you know, she moved into I purchased something, right? So, but we've kept her engaged all this time. Does that make sense? And that's the engagement process. So some people, it takes them 12 years to cook. You saw me on Steve Harvey, and that's what made you go, okay, that's it, I'm going. So there you go. The core, I don't know what you mean by the 80-20 rule. 20% of your customers, yeah, no. Well, maybe, it could be. It depends on the scenario. It totally depends on the scenario. So what I'm saying, your best one is not necessarily your core one, is what I'm saying. Meaning we have tons of people that buy from us online that don't end up in an event, or it takes them 12 years to end up in an event. We have some people that their very first initiation with us is an event, and then they go back and backfill with the other products. Does that make sense? So anyway, so part of the reason why you haven't had the repeat or continuation is because you haven't figured out who your core customer is yet, right? You haven't figured out your core customer, and you haven't figured out your best. Like, what's the best case scenario of who we would like to do business with long term? So you're only going to have a few that are going to stick with you until the kid graduates from college. It's a very few. Do you understand? And there will be the most that will take advantage of the 6 month, right? That's the majority. That's probably where your bread and butter is. And so now it's migrating some of the ones that are with you for the 6 month process into a year and out of it. So it's even few. So let's say it's 100 that do for the 6 months. Let's say it's 50 that do it for a year. And then let's say it's like 10 or 20 that do it long term. Does that make sense? But that does mean that you offer everyone the opportunity for you to come alongside and be an advocate for your kids' mathematics education that relieves the parents. So here's what I'm going to ask you. So you said that the customer is actually a parent, not the student. You're so smart. You're absolutely right. That's dead on. And so what does your service actually really do for me as a mom who gets confused with fourth grade math?
It allows you to breathe. You can live. You don't have to Google what's 2 + 2. You know what I mean. But, I mean, I hear moms all the time coming in here and saying, this is not how math was taught to me. You know, they can't even help maybe their third graders because it's so different. So it relieves them that they have me, which means cha-ching.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Okay, and that's how you sell this thing, mm-hmm. is you sell it according to my feelings. That's how you're going to make me feel, knowing that I get to have you come alongside and my kid isn't going to be stupid because you are in their life.
Yes.
My lack of understanding of math is not going to cause my kid to fail because you're giving me the peace of mind that my kid is going to have the best possible shot at succeeding in mathematics. And not only that, but have you done any research and found out why mathematics? Like what professions use that in looking into the future, especially with robotics?
Mm-hmm. We're trying to partner up with another robotics company in our area. So,
cool. Awesome. Yeah. Thank so you. There you go.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. Good stuff. All right. We're going to go to lunch. It is 12:45. Let's take an hour and a half break for lunch. So that means you're going to be back here at what time? 2:15? We'll see you back at 2:15.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. So good today.